From Van Dyke Field, Brad Binowitz with you. Jim Lee heading down to the sideline as it looks like the rain might be finally starting to let up a bit. As you just heard Chris LeGros say at the downtown studios, the rain should be moving out of the area. And what has been a good, steady rain for at least the last 40 minutes does seem to be lightening up a bit. We'll get a field report from Jim Lee here momentarily. But Drake Sykes with a kickoff to the far side of the field, taken by the Knights just outside the five-yard line and bringing it back upfield, trying to cut to the outside, trying to get to the outside, and with a burst of speed to the corner goes to Jeremy Johnson. Finally run down by the Silver Streaks down to the 42-yard line before Trevon Diggins finally caught up with him and took him down with a high tackle. So a big run back by Jeremy Johnson of 37 yards. And the Knights will start off in good field position at their own 43-yard line. Sophomores lost tonight by a final of 46-30 in a real shootout of a game, but the Knights got the lead and just kind of traded scores there for a while. Silver Streaks never did really make a serious run at the opportunity to win that game. Jim Lee, I hear your microphone fuzzing in and out, so I know I've got you, and we're going to find out from you just how good or bad things really might be down on the field. As the handoff goes left to the University of Illinois-bound running back Kendrick Foster, who on the first carry of the game moves it into Silver Streaks territory and a first down at the Galesburg 46-yard line. What are things like down there, Jim?
Well, they're better than they were 10 minutes ago, at least from a rain standpoint. It actually, just as we kicked off, it had completely stopped, but now it seems to be starting up again. The wind's starting to pick up a little bit, too, so it's not the best night, but, you know, the football players, once they get a couple of downs under their belt, they won't even notice.
First down from the Galesburg 46-yard line out of the I formation. Handoff goes to Foster. Big hole across the right side ending to the Silver Streak secondary. Stopped at the 36-yard line, so two carries, a first down, and another run that's very close to another first down, and they do not even move the chain. They don't even bring out the chains, and Foster quickly moving the Knights downfield to the Galesburg 35-yard line.
The one thing I noticed about Foster, he's so much stronger. He was great as a sophomore and junior, but you can tell he's really put on the muscle here as a senior as he heads toward Big Ten play.
And they're going to give it to him again. Still running right. Better tackle that time as O'Brien Allen gets Foster just across the line of scrimmage at the 34-yard line. So a modest gain of just one for the Knights. So three carries already on the night for Kendrick Foster. And he's up to 23 yards rushing after the big run back by Jeremy Johnson, who is the other threat out of the backfield for the Knights. And the quarterback, Max Barris, a 5'10", 184-pound junior. So with as many players as the Knights have returning from that runner-up finisher in the state last year, here's Barris on the keeper getting to the outside, gets into the Streaks linebacker core just across the 30-yard line where he has stopped. He'll be about 3 yards short of the first down. Just underway in the first quarter on senior night. Changes for the Silver Streaks in the lineup. We'll run through some of those here as the night goes along. It's been a rather eventful week for the Galesburg football program. Third down and four coming up from the 29-yard line. First time that the Knights have faced third down here tonight, and probably in two-down territory anyway. On third and six, handoff left. Foster trying to get to the outside, bounces off a couple of players, finally taken down by Will Anderson across the 25, but a first down at about the Silver Streak 22-yard line.
Yeah, as this game wears on, it'll probably be good that I'm down here, Brad, because I'm not sure from the press box you'll be able to read those Richwood's uniforms, because they've got white with green numbers, and I don't think they're going to be white very long. It's getting pretty muddy out there, especially in between, well, really all the way in between the 20s. Those sophomores, they really went up and down the field. A lot of points in a long game on a wet field early.
Out of the pro set backfield, Barris hands off right side. Foster runs into a couple of Silver Streaks black jerseys. Still keeps the legs pumping forward across the 20 to about the 17-yard line. And just over 2.5 minutes into the game, the Knights are now inside the Galesburg red zone. And trying to put the Streaks down quickly. Galesburg's defense has backpedaled the last 3 weeks against top-rated competition, Alleman, Rock Island, and last week falling behind 14-0 to Quincy in the early going. Silver Streaks have played great defensively in the second half. They need a big stop here. Barris on the keeper spins off a man inside the 15, down to about the 13-yard line, a gain of five more, and it'll be third and short upcoming.
Actually, they've been shifting at quarterback. They actually had Michael Davis that time on the keeper, and you know, he's the guy that did some damage to us in our last meeting. He could throw the ball too, but according to Coach Roland Brown, Barris is the guy that actually, he says, got the better arm, and he was glad that he was able to get some starts when Davis was injured for a few games this year.
And he'll keep it right up the middle. It bounces off to the left a little bit, stopped down to the 11-yard line, close to the 10. We'll see what kind of spot the officials give it. It looks from up here to be a little bit short of the first down. But two down territory inside the Galesburg 15-yard line, close to the 10. In fact, the nose of the football looks to be sitting right at the 10.
Yeah, I think they got it. He actually moved it, yeah, right onto the 10. So the chain gang knew they were supposed to move, but they had to wait for the official to give them the indication, and now they're moving. And so Richwoods can get a first down just shy of the goal line.
Every play has been for positive yardage so far in this drive that started back at the Knights' 43-yard line, so they already had good field position to open the drive. This is the ninth play. Handoff goes left. Foster tries to cut back across the middle. Wasn't much there. He gets just across the 10-yard line for a gain of one. Brings up second and nine.
We've put ourselves in holes the last 3 weeks. The Alamut and Rock Island games we couldn't dig out of. Last week we did against Quincy. And Alleman threatening to get the quick score first here tonight, although the streaks are making work for it. No big chunks of yardage, just steady progress down the field for the Knights.
Opening drive of the game, 7.5 minutes to go, first quarter. Handoff left, nope. Now Barris will keep it, trying to bounce to the outside. Found a little bit of a hole. Now the streaks swarm on top of him at the 5-yard line. Silver streaks indicating that the ball might have come loose and that they think that they have. At least Michael Moss comes running in saying, that's our ball, that's our ball.
Yeah, Ryan Darby over there made the tackle and looked like he might have stripped it off out as he went by, and the streaks continue to say they've got the ball, but they haven't unpiled it yet. Nope, looks like Richwoods, when they finally unstack it, going to keep possession of the football. Coming out of there with it was Jeremy Johnson.
Jacob Ryden was down there right on top of him, but not in possession of the ball. So it's going to end up going as a gain of one, and it'll be third and eight. Again, as Jim indicated, they can get a first down just inside the 1-yard line. Two down territory here, under 7 minutes to play, first quarter on the opening drive. Handoff left, and instead it's going to be Davis on the keeper, and he gets all the way to the outside, completely fooled the Silver Streaks defense, and the Knights score first on the 8-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, that's the weapon that Davis was against us in years past, able to run the ball as well as throw it, and of course then any time he can hand it to Foster that he wants to. This is a very balanced Richwoods attack, and we caught them at the wrong time, because this particular season they have really rounded into shape. If you caught them earlier on, might have had a little bit better situation, but they are peaking right now as they head towards playoff time.
11 plays, 5 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock, and a fumbled snap, and the Silver Streaks are going to come away stopping the extra point attempt, because I'm sure the ball is wet, slick, yep, hard to handle, bad snap. It was difficult for the holder to bring it in. So 6-0 Richwood, 6:47 to go first quarter. Galesburg's first offensive possession coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Shop the Menard Day Sale for big savings on all of your fall project supplies. Save big on tools, building supplies, fall cleanup products, and much more. Get cleaner, better-tasting water in your home with a Water Boss water softener. They remove hardness and chlorine from well and city water to deliver a number of additional benefits, including cleaner clothes and softer skin. An 18,000-grain Water Boss water softener is just $399 after rebate.
Save big money at Menards.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
Keep you updated on the Cardinals' playoff game in the National League Championship Series against San Francisco. No score going into the bottom of the third. St. Louis had the bases loaded in the bottom of the second and one out, but pitcher Lance Lynn grounded into a double play. That's the closest either team has come to scoring tonight. Cardinals bat bottom of the third, with the top of the order coming up. Here, the Knights score on their opening possessions. Richwoods leads Galesburg 6-0, 6:47 to go here in the first quarter. Galesburg's first offensive possession anticipated coming up. The high spinning kick as the rain continues to come down. Taken by Ben Holloway at the 10. Running upfield, found a hole. Breaks through the opening and dragged down by two defenders just across the 40-yard line. Big run back by Ben Holloway, and that puts some life into the Silver Streaks as they fall behind here early.
And nice to see the acceleration for Holloway as he hit the hole that time, running aggressively as you should on a kickoff return. Nearly busted it all the way. Billy Daly coming over to make the tackle, junior for the Richwoods Knights. If he's not there, Holloway might have tied this game up. You wouldn't think on a wet field you get going that quickly, but he sure did there.
Rock Island leads Glenbard South 7-6 in the first quarter. Moline has taken a 10-6 lead over Rich South. Peoria Central leads United Township 14-0.
Fumble.
Handoff goes to the right. Trevon Diggins loses the handle on it, and the officials immediately indicate that the Knights have it back. There was no hesitation whatsoever. The ball came out, blew the play dead, and as soon as they did, the referee was indicating the other direction. And that's the danger you face on a wet, cold night like this.
Yep, Trevon Diggins had on some gloves, and now he's immediately taking Kimball's over to the sidelines, takes those off, and goes back out to play defense. I think he felt like those caused him not to get a very good grip on the ball. He had it for about a second, and as soon as there was any contact, that ball just shot straight forward about 3 or 4 yards, and Richwoods fell on it.
So now the Knights start in Galesburg territory at the 45. Handoff left. Foster runs over one man, then runs into another at the 40-yard line, and the Streaks are able to converge. Still, pretty good gain on first down. They're going to give him 6. It'll be 2nd and 4.
Yeah, he ran right into to Diggins that time, and both players wearing the number 22. And Diggins did a pretty good job of standing him up. I think, of course, Trevon probably still mad that he fumbled on the previous play. Wasn't going to let Foster run him over.
Run through the Silver Streaks defensive lineup, as we still haven't given you the Richwoods offensive lineup, despite a fairly drawn-out opening possession of 11 plays. Now bringing under center, a deep eye set formation, long toss into the backfield as Johnson gets it, trying to cut to the outside, gets to the corner, and the Streaks run him out close to the 30-yard line. The rest of the Knights offensive starters, we mentioned Max Barris, a starting quarterback, but again, we've already seen Michael Davis in there, Jeremy Johnson, the tailback, Kendrick Foster, the Illinois-bound fullback, Nick Parks, Javier Ross also get a lot of playing time. Brandon Roberts, a tight end, 6'3", 238, a senior. And then across the offensive line, Avery Stewart at 6'2", 241, a senior. Keith King, a 5'9", 210-pound junior. Zach Jackson, the center, 6'3", 205, a senior. Ryan Dunn, 6'3", 220, a senior. And Tyler Brown at right tackle, 6'2", 271-pound senior. Good size across that Richwoods offensive line. And they can do so much for Kendrick Foster, who takes this handoff, but they can't open up much of a hole for him there. He worms his way just across the 30 for a short game.
Yeah, not much room there. That time looked like Tyson Parks over there. O'Brien Allen, he's everywhere. On almost every tackle, O'Brien's in the neighborhood if he's not making the tackle.
Our crunch time player of the game from last week with two big defensive stops that he made in that one in the decisive fourth quarter that gave Galesburg the ball back late, stopped Quincy's potential game-winning drive, and then had the game-winning save on the two-point conversion. Handoff goes right. Small hole. Foster dives for a gain of 3 more. Michael Brian Allen in on the tackle again. And they're going to spot it at the 26. Bring up 3rd and 5.
Now, last week, these Knights went down to Quincy Notre Dame. Those two teams have had some great games over the years for the Mid-State 6 title. They thought it might be a good one, but they ran away with that thing early, 42-0 at halftime. It was a rout.
I enjoyed Roland Brown's comment to you about that. Here's Davis on the keeper trying to get to the outside, getting down low. He runs over Holloway and then tries to snap free of Holloway, hanging on to him at the ankles, but it's a first down inside the 15, down to the 12 for a gain of 14. But I enjoyed his comment to you as the coaching, he said the coaching staff was looking at each other, just waiting, knowing that this was all going to change at some point, and it just never did. They just completely dominated them.
Yeah, that's not often you surprise your own coaching staff, but the Knights played so well that they did. And if you talk to Notre Dame, they'll probably tell you they didn't play very well.
Now, that was Coach Tim Doherty's assessment when I asked him about it. Handoff goes left. Johnson tries to cut back across the 10 toward the middle. He'll get inside the 10-yard line down to the 8 for a gain of 4 more. Elsewhere, we mentioned the big Abingdon-Knoxville game tonight. Abingdon won all 5 of its games in the Prairieland division that it won to qualify for the playoffs, but the Commandos haven't won a game against anybody on the outside of the division, and the Blue Bullets, in that big rivalry game, hoping that continues tonight because Knoxville needs a 5th win to become playoff eligible.
Yeah, and the Bullets division is just much tougher this year. They've got
certainly
Havana and Beardstown and Farmington all up on that side, and they're real strong.
Second down upcoming for the Knights as they've moved it inside the 10. Here's Johnson again trying to get to the corner, runs over a man, trying to go for the pylon, and the Knights have scored on their second straight possession. It's now 12-0, 3:15 to go here in the first quarter still. And once again, for the 4th straight game, the Silver Streaks fall behind early. 21-0 to Alleman at halftime, 28-3 to Rock Island at halftime. Quincy scored on its 2 of its first 3 possessions last week to take a 14-0 lead. And here again tonight, Richwood scoring on the first 2 drives.
Well, the Knights doing most of their damage on the outside. The times that they've tried to run inside, the Streaks have been pretty tough against that run. But the speed of Richwood, this is a little like the Rock Island game. I think we're having to adjust to a team that can turn the corner on us, and they've been doing most of their damage there.
And going for 2 after not being able to convert the extra point earlier, and a wide open play right across the right tackle, Brandon Roberts, the tight end.
And that was Bears that threw that one.
Nobody had any idea that he was even there. And he even juggled it a little bit, but he hauled it in for the 2-point conversion, and it's 14-0. A 7-play scoring drive covers 45 yards after the Silver Streaks fumble on their first play from scrimmage. And Galesburg now down 14-0. With 3:15 to go in the first quarter, that took 3 minutes and 18 seconds off the clock.
Yeah, again, they brought in Max Bears, the better thrower, according to Coach Brown, and he was on that occasion. All he had to do was take about a 1-step drop and pop it right over the middle, and he was wide open. His last name is spelled B-E-R-R-E-S, but Coach Brown called him Bears. So it's kind of like the, you know, Max Bears was Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Uh-huh.
It's not spelled the same, but
that was B-A-E-R. And, of course,
yeah.
Max, that was Max Bear Jr. His father was a
right.
great heavyweight champion
That's
in boxing.
Right, yeah. Jethro Bodine, one of the all-time great characters.
San Francisco Giants, runners at first and second, nobody out. Top of the 4th inning, no score in St. Louis, but the Giants are threatening. And the Knights go with the onside kick. Tyson Parks fields it at the 30. They're not about to go deep to Ben Holloway again, and Parks returns it to the 37.
Yeah, that was no accident. They kicked it on the ground there, was it?
Nope.
Noah Curtright up to make the tackle for Rich Woods. A big collision there for he and Parks were both trying to get lower than the other guy. Tyson was running strong with that ball. He got brought down there. And the Streaks will have their second possession. Hopefully we'll hold on to it a little longer than we did our first.
West Central Conference tonight. Good luck to the Monmouth Roseville Titans. Big game at Illini West tonight. What a matchup that is.
Yeah, they are really playing well right now.
And then for Rockridge to beat Macomb last week after the Rockets had struggled here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they looked like they were rolling early on and then kind of went into a funk for a couple games in the middle of the season. Then they turned around and handed the Bombers their first loss of the year. What a conference that's turning out to be with Macomb and Illini West at 7-1 and
mm-hmm.
the Titans and Rock Ridge at 6-2 now.
Well, and if you talk to the folks over at Monmouth Roseville land, they'll tell you if they'd have had Martell Hunter, they'd have whipped Macomb too. That was early in the season. He had been out with an appendectomy.
And then how about the 2 games in the Lincoln Trail tonight? As the Streaks run it, trying to get to the outside on 2nd and 8. Ball comes rolling out, but the play had been blown dead as the rain comes down hard again here. But the 2 games on the Lincoln Trail tonight of note, Weathersfield Anawan at Mercer County, both 8-0, and United at Stark County, both 6-2. All those teams already in the playoffs, but boy, talk about playoff preparation games tonight.
Well, those United-Stark County games are always slugfests.
Oh,
I would guess that'll be a close one. I've got a hunch Mercer County will put a 14-point or more hurt on Anawan Weathersfield, but we'll see.
3rd and 3 for the Silver Streaks from their own 45-yard line, trying to keep the drive alive, and miscommunication on the handoff.
Boy.
Tried to get it to Ben Holloway, and with that wet football and the slick footing on the field.
Ben got erased.
Yeah, they just could not make the clean connection. It almost looked like Peyton might have even had a hard time taking the snap to begin with and then maybe slipped a little bit. And nothing about that play was running smoothly, and the Silver Streaks lose two, brings up fourth and six.
Well, when we talked on the scouting report with assistant coach Kelly Kane, that's one thing we said, do you change plays at all? He said, well, maybe anything that calls for a real hard cut, he said, because you go to cut on this turf, you're just going to be on the ground by yourself.
Drake Sykes back at the 30. So the Streaks have run four plays. The Knights on two possessions have two touchdowns. And Sykes kicks it away from everybody on special teams, takes a Galesburg roll down just inside the 20-yard line with a minute 12 to go here in this first quarter, and the Silver Streaks trailing 14 to nothing.
Well, the thought is that if Richwoods were to get a pretty comfortable lead here at halftime or shortly thereafter, you would probably see a lot of their starters, especially Foster, sitting out a good part of the second half. Of course, the Silver Streaks hope that isn't the scenario, but if it does develop, you've got to start looking toward the playoffs.
Well, and then on the field, too, just to prevent injury.
Sure.
As the sheets of rain have started to come down again, back to pass on first down. Bears has a man open, wide open, dropped at the 50-yard line. Michael Davis was totally open. He had a good 2.5 steps on Ben Holloway at midfield, and he just dropped the ball.
And that is an absolute testament to the rain. And I think as he goes over to the sideline, of course, as we said, he's also a quarterback at times, Davis, but a terrific athlete that can use his speed at the wide spot. If it's a dry field, that's probably a touchdown, but you can't just use your hands. Davis didn't let that ball hit him in the body. He tried to just grab it with those slick hands and just couldn't bring it in.
On second and 10, Bears on the pitch now to the backside, trying to get to the outside. Jeremy Johnson is piled upon by three Silver Streaks. Michael Moss there. Ben Holloway, the last to make the hit, as Johnson gets up to about the 25. Give credit to Manny Valdez for the initial stop. Gain about four. It'll bring a third and six.
Cannot emphasize enough what a break we caught when Davis dropped that ball, because that was a touchdown. If he catches that, he streaks right up the middle of the field for another 6 points.
Keeping an eye on as many scores as we can of what Galesburg's opponents have done this season, as the Silver Streaks need opponent victories to earn those playoff points and get closer to a possible playoff bid. Three wideouts to the short side of the field, and then on the quarterback draw, Davis spins forward, and he's wrapped up and thrown down across the 25-yard line. And he'll be 3 yards short of the first down.
Looks like Matt Hawkins on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. 7 seconds left in the quarter as the officials say
Richard's going to take timeout.
Take a timeout.
Interesting.
Is your radar? We looked at your radar, Brad, and I came down here in full confidence that the rain was about to stop. Well, it's anything but at this point.
How many times have we looked at the radar tonight thinking, all right, well, this is about done, and then it just seems to rain harder? And then we think, well, there's really not much out there. This'll end soon. It just rains harder again. Hard to figure.
Well, and earlier tonight, it was just a straight downpour. There was no wind at all through much of the sophomore game, and then even during the warm-ups here before this one and during the senior night festivities, just a straight down rain.
Yep.
Now there is a little wind that's picked up out of the west, so it's more of a blowing rain. It's still not big drops. A lot of mist. You can look up at the lights and just kind of see the waves of it coming down.
Yeah. Almost like there's a campfire nearby. It's like heavy smoke rolling over or thick fog rolling down onto the field.
Well, I've got to think our listening audience is even a little bigger tonight, judging from the stands. About, I don't know, a third full, a lot of umbrellas. Folks just not coming out much tonight due to the weather conditions.
Streaks put a little rush on the punter. Clean kick away, and Diggins is going to let it bounce, and then it takes a Galesburg bounce backward at the 43-yard line, and that's the end of the first quarter. Richwoods 14, Galesburg nothing. Streaks with good field position to start the second quarter coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing. I am good.
Michelle, XYZ.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Missing a minute can cost you big time. Tune in for the Clark Howard Show. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone here at Wet Van Dyke Field, 14-0. Ninth-rated Richwoods leads Galesburg. Other scores that we're keeping an eye on, Glenbard South has taken a 13-7 lead over Rock Island in the second quarter. Of course, the Silver Streaks want everybody they have played this season to come away with a victory. Moline is doing that, 16-6 at Rich South in the second quarter. Alleman won last night in its non-conference game up in Wisconsin, and Peoria leads United Township 22-0 still in the second quarter. Silver Streaks first down from their own 43. Hand off to Diggins, trying to find his way up the middle. Held from behind on the arm and then manages to fight forward. Breaks free just enough to gain another yard or two. He'll be just across the 45 and brings up second and 8. We're just underway in the second quarter. Could not make a winner of Dominic Michael of Galesburg in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest. We wish good luck to Vanessa Pearl of Galesburg here in the second quarter. If the Silver Streaks score a touchdown here in the second quarter, offensive or defensive, either way, then Vanessa wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Back to pass. Isaacson rolling out, and then under pressure, flag comes down as it's probably going to be a hold against the Silver Streaks, and Isaacson is sacked for a loss.
Probably decline that one. Get the down and the loss, will the Knights. And you know, there was a time when I used to laminate the rosters before I came down here and on the sideline, and hadn't needed that for so long, I kind of got away from it, and that'd be a real good idea tonight. One of the cameramen went by and was laughing at my soggy little limp roster. The rain has done a number on it. I may have to memorize the players' numbers real quick here, because it's going to be tearing away pretty soon.
I'm glad you thought of that when you did. Yep, it is holding, and it is declined. By the way, the San Francisco Giants have taken a 1-0 lead in the top of the fourth inning over the St. Louis Cardinals. So the Silver Streaks now facing third and long. They are at their 36. They need to get to the Richwoods 46-yard line. Pitch into the backfield. Holloway trying to cut left, trying to get to the outside. Gets to the corner, past the original line of scrimmage. Gets to midfield before finally run out of bounds just across the 50-yard line. He'll be a 2.5 to 3 yards short of the first down. Actually, they're going to mark him back at the Galesburg 48. Thought he had gotten a little farther than that, but rather than being fourth and a short three upcoming, it's going to be fourth and 5. Good run by Ben Holloway, but not enough.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice block to set him free here on the near side. And the guys, the play pursued is deep into the Streaks benches I've seen all year. Jeremy Johnson, who was one of the tacklers for Richwoods, went clear over the long jump area, but landed in the grass that sits between it and the actual track. The guys really had a lot of momentum coming into the Streaks sideline.
Silver Streaks lined up to go for it on fourth down, but nothing moving from the Knights' defensive line. Streaks maybe trying to draw a penalty, get those final 5 yards for the first down. They'll call timeout. Just underway in the second quarter, 11:01 to go before halftime. Streaks down 14-0. Listening to Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, this is Chris LeGros from WGIL. Brownie Troop 8877 wants your donations for a food drive on Saturday, October 27th at Galesburg's two Hy-Vee stores. The Brownies will be there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and all donations will help local food banks. For more info, check out our calendar at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks call a timeout, facing 4th and 5 from their own 48-yard line. And let's see if the strategy changes here coming out of the timeout. It looks like it has. They are now indicating punt formation with Isaacson standing back at his own 40-yard line. The deep drop for the quarterback. Thinking pooch situation here. And he does run into the kick. Nobody back for Richwoods. And that takes a Galesburg roll. The Streaks are going to have to chase it down, and it stops just short and then crosses the goal line as Galesburg tried to chase it down, sprinting downfield. Holloway and Will Anderson It was losing momentum heading to the goal line, and just nobody could catch up to it, so the Knights will have it at the 20.
Yeah, on a dry night, that ball probably checks up and pins Richwood deep into their own territory, but that grass is so slick, and the ball hit it with a broad side instead of the point, and it just skidded right into the end zone. The guys made a great effort to get down there and try and get on it, but they couldn't quite save it.
10:50 to go, first half. Knights already leading 14-0. Take over again at their own 20. Bases loaded for the Giants, still batting in the top of the fourth, leading the Cardinals 1-0, game 5 of the National League Championship Series. Hand off right, gain of 3 on first down for Richwoods.
Foster tackled by Allen and Darby for the streaks. I think O'Brien Allen, well, he always gets stoked up to play anyway, but with a chance to try and slow down this All-Stater and Kendrick Foster.
Mm-hmm. Second and 7. From the Knights' 23-yard line, Bears now pitches away, throws it behind Jeremy Johnson. Diving for it are 5 silver streaks. Still a scramble for the ball back at the 10-yard line, and it looks like Ellsberg has recovered. Bears slipped as he tried to make the pitch to Jeremy Johnson, and as he slipped, it cost him his momentum, tossed it behind Johnson, who was running toward the sideline, and 5 black jerseys did battle with Johnson to come up with that one, and the streaks recover at the 10, and a great opportunity to cut this deficit in half.
Yeah, I think some of those black jerseys may have even been battling each other. You're thinking, surely we're going to come out of there with that ball with the 5-on-1 odds, but it took a while to finally secure it on this wet field. And so the silver streaks see Richwoods turn it over. I wondered, you know, when they were running the pitch play on the last possession, I thought that's a little risky on a night like this, and it really cost them there.
From the 10-yard line, Isaacson hands off to Diggins, trying to fight his way across the right side of the line, dives across the 10 to the 8-yard line, a short gain on first down. Silver Streaks trying to take advantage of it. Richwoods scored its second touchdown of the game after Galesburg fumbled on its first offensive possession. Now they try to take advantage of a Knights turnover. 2nd and 8. And the first down marker is standing almost at the goal marker on the far side of the field. So from where you're standing, Jim, what kind of first down would that be? First and goal from like the half-yard line?
Yeah, let's hope we get it there,
yeah,
because
no
after that play, we're a long ways from it.
Nowhere to go for for Christian Powers, who's the starting fullback tonight. Just a sophomore, and he got drilled.
Well, I guess they're going to give him forward progress,
wow,
at least, because he ended up getting tackled almost back at the 15, but they mark it closer to the 9.
So it goes as a loss of 1. And it'll be 3rd and 9 for the Silver Streaks. Under 9 minutes to go here in this first half. Streaks down by 2 touchdowns. And there's the pitch for the Silver Streaks to Diggins. And he runs into a man, and that ball goes flying out of bounds. And
wow.
Diggins is down. Diggins is down on his front side, and he is slow to get up.
Yeah, he probably got either his wind knocked out of him there. Or
hope that's all it was.
Yeah, because who was it? I'm trying to find out in this soggy program. That was Kyronte O'Neal. He's just a sophomore. Came up and really laid the lick on Diggins. He's 5'8", but he goes 202, so he's bring a pretty good load with a lot of steam that time. And just when it looked like Trevon was going to make some good yardage.
Yeah.
One of the things about Trevon, he runs straight up and down. And when you run straight up and down, sometimes you're vulnerable to getting popped like that. Trevon is off the field as he runs off under his own power, but that's one of the bigger hits we've seen in recent weeks.
Streaks still have not converted on third down. It brings up 4th down, and now Isaacson and Will Anderson coming onto the field.
I don't know if you could hear they're yelling
Laird.
Field
that's
goal
Tanner
on the
Laird, isn't
streak
it?
Sideline, yeah. Now they're going to have to take a timeout over here. All the coaches yelling at them. They're disorganized and going to have to talk this over.
So Galesburg burns its 2nd timeout, trying to get onto the scoreboard with 8:45 to go before halftime and trailing 14-0. Good opportunity to tell you that coming up at halftime, Jim, you caught up with the Streaks volleyball coach.
Yeah, this has worked out pretty well. We had we've been talking with every coach just as they head into their postseason play with both of the golf coaches, and then Phil Reddington with the soccer team last week, and Marla Clay and her troops getting set for the Western Big Six Quad up in the Quad Cities tomorrow, and then they go into regional play next week. Kind of an odd situation. They're playing Monmouth Roseville, which is a considerably smaller school, but the way it breaks down this year, the Titans actually got bumped into 3A, even though they're giving up about 800 students to Galesburg in that one. So Silver Streaks will be favored in their regional opener. We'll talk with Marla about some of the highlights of the season and her coaching experience and more at halftime.
Giants have put four runs on the Cardinals in the top of the fourth. Lance Lynn knocked out of the game. So a week ago it was 6-0. Cardinals rallied. Tonight it's 4-0. Top of the fourth, and they're playing at home trying to get to the World Series. All right, coming out of the Galesburg timeout, the rain has appeared to have stopped. High snap. Isaacson gets it down for Tanner Laird, who boots it through. And the Silver Streaks have a 25-yard field goal and are on the board now. Down 14-3, 8:45 to go here in the first quarter. So they do make something out of the Knights' turnover deep in their own territory.
But not yet a sandwich. Even though it's points, it's not a touchdown.
So Galesburg on the board, though.
Who is our contestant this second quarter?
Second quarter was Vanessa Pearl of Galesburg.
Right. Okay.
In fact, all our contestants tonight are from Galesburg.
Well, Vanessa, the Streaks will keep trying for you here. It's good to be on the board, though, with 8:45 to go. And we stopped Richwoods a couple of times, actually just once on the downs and once on the fumble. And you're right, Brad, it has completely stopped raining, at least for the moment. But as we've seen tonight, don't count on that lasting all night.
Streaks run four plays. Takes a minute 19 off the clock.
Sophomore game went long tonight. What did that end up, 40-30?
46-30.
Wow, a lot of points in that one.
Looks like there's some mist starting to come down again. So the break didn't last very long. Sykes runs up to it, gets a good leg into it, booting it to the far side of the field. Richwoods can't hang on to it, and then slipping behind the Knights and going into the end zone goes as a touchback, and that might have benefited them in the long run.
It definitely benefited them, because by the time he got back there and was going to pick up that ball, that was Noah Courtright. There were several Silver Streaks right on him, and fortunately it just barely crossed into the end zone for the touchback. If that thing's at the one, we might have been able to tackle him easily inside the five there. So we can only hope that Richwoods continues to have a little trouble holding on to the ball here and give us another opportunity before the half.
Rock Island's Brandon Richardson has run one in. 2.5 minutes to go in the first half, and the Rocks regain the lead over Glenbard South, 14-13. Handoff left. Streaks better hope for some lot of help here, because Kendrick Foster is off to the races. Ben Holloway is not going to get the angle before Foster runs in an 80-yard touchdown run. And there goes what the Streaks got out of the field goal. One play, and they're down by 17 again.
A lot of teams in the last 4 years have chased Kendrick Foster from the back, watching number 22 head to the goalposts, and he did it again there. And that's a real dagger for the Streaks, who felt like maybe they'd climb back into the game.
I guess. Took all of 16 seconds. And just like that, Foster's over 100 yards rushing, as you might imagine. 80-yard run. And it's 20-3. And they'll line up for the extra point. Justin Cole is the kicker, a junior, 5'6", 145 pounds. And again, it looks like the mist that had resumed has now ended again. Not as deep of a kick as what Laird can do, but it's good enough. Splits the uprights, 21-3. Knights build the lead, 8:29 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Constantly reaching for the remote, not to channel surf, but to turn the volume up and up and up. This is one of the most common signs of hearing loss. You should consider a Starkey hearing aid. The improved digital technology allows you to program settings to make listening easier, no matter where you are. The wireless technology allows your hearing aid to automatically adjust to your TV, phone, and iPod, so you aren't constantly turning the volume up. Call the Knox County Hearing Center for a free hearing evaluation. Knox County Hearing Center on Henderson Street, behind Lim's Ice Cream.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
8:29 to go before halftime. Richwood's leading Galesburg 21-3. Up at the Soul Bowl, Harrison Hale has three touchdown runs for Peoria Central, 84, 88, and 48 yards. So he's racking up some major yardage. Just on those three carries alone, he's got over 200 yards. And now Darian Simmons returns a fumble 40 yards, and the Lions crushing United Township 28-0 still in the first half. But the good news for Galesburg is they'll get an opponent victory out of that one either way, which helps them in the playoff points race. Because right now, Galesburg down 18 with 8:29 to go in the first half. That sixth win is looking even harder than it might have before this game even started. Taking on a short hop, Ben Holloway runs up the home sideline across the 25 to the 27 where he stopped on the kickoff.
You know, Richwood's has some good depth. There have been a couple of years where I've been surprised at the Knights for as successful a team as they've been over the years. A couple of years, their roster's been a little thin. They've always had really good starters, but had a number of two ways. But I don't think they've got a whole lot of fellas going two ways this time around.
Not these days. First down for the Silver Streaks. Just short of the 28-yard line. Out of the split backfield. And now there's all kinds of movement. That was not working at all. Valdez apparently snapped the ball to Isaacson's surprise, so he went ahead and tried to run it, but that's going to be a penalty against the Silver Streaks.
Yeah,
about four
mess.
Players moved, and everybody else just stood. Referee sorts everything out, clears everybody back. There's the false start indicator. It's the first penalty of the night against Galesburg.
As you can tell, the fans over here really like that one.
Ah, you can't please everybody, right? Especially the home crowd when the home team gets whistled. So now first and 15 for the Silver Streaks. Handoff right, trying to bounce to the outside. Maybe
got Holloway.
Back. Maybe got back to the 25. Joe Kelly in for Lance Lynn. He ends the Giants' fourth inning with San Francisco leading 4-0. Now the Cardinals with two outs have a runner at third. Daniel Descalzo batting.
Cards got them right where they want them.
That's right.
Well, not quite as critical a game tonight as what we had last Friday night, but sure the Cardinals not really wanting to get on that plane and fly to the West Coast.
That would not be a happy flight. Right up the middle.
Somebody needs to turn a squirrel loose on the field.
Best run of the night for the sophomore Christian Powers. Again, who's starting fullback tonight. He picks up six, and it brings up third and seven for the Silver Streaks.
How to clarify, no squirrel should be on this field. That would be a bad night for the squirrel.
Yeah.
But at Busch Stadium, they could use the rally squirrel.
In motion goes Diggins. Fake handoff on the play action. Isaacson downfield. Holloway is wide open and underthrown a little bit as the coverage was coming from the weak side. Javier Ross had a bead on it out of the Knights secondary, and he couldn't catch up to it. It falls incomplete. And fourth down upcoming. Streaks now 0 for 4 on third downs tonight.
Well, I'm surprised Isaacson could get it that far because he really didn't have a good grip on the ball. He didn't have his fingers on the seams. He had his hand on the flat side of it, but kind of threw it like a baseball out there, and it was wobbling like a duck. And it took a pretty strong arm to just get it thrown out there when you can't get any sort of a spiral on it because it's too slick.
So with 7:07 to go in the first half, Streaks down by 18 and back into punt formation. Good snap to Sykes, who gets it high up in the air. Richwoods lets it bounce and then takes a friendly bounce. And the Streaks are in pursuit now. Trying to chase down Foster at the 22. He breaks free, and here he goes up the near sideline. Another key block frees him. He cuts back to the middle. There's a flag down, and that's going to negate the Foster run back, the illegal block in the back that took Drake Sykes out of the play. And only that is going to prevent Kendrick Foster from, after the 80-yard touchdown run, returning the punt for a touchdown. They're going to whistle Ryan Dunn for that one on the penalty.
And I'm sure Roland Brown's not too happy about that, because I don't think he probably even needed that. He was going to cut back in the middle, I think, and probably take that to the house anyway. And it was interesting. Foster, he knew exactly what had happened after he saw that the block and the flag.
Yeah, he really let up on
yeah,
the speed.
I don't think he ever even got to the end zone. He just cruised down to about the 5 and said, "Up, I'm coming back." Boy, he can move, can't he? Wow.
He sure can.
Fast and strong. Only 5'8", but he is a strong heck of an athlete.
So the flag happens at the 30-yard line of the Silver Streaks, and it ends up negating the whole thing. The Knights are going to have to go all the way back to the 15-yard line.
Don't they usually do that from the spot of the infraction?
Well, that's what I thought.
Maybe not on a kick return. I guess I need to brush up on my rule book.
So a 6:43 to go. After all that excitement, it's like it never happened. Do-over. Only not quite a do-over. They'll just run their first offensive play from their own 16-yard line.
That probably kept us in the game. I mean, at 21-3, we're not living large by any stretch right now, but if we were down 28-3, you start thinking about next week.
That's what happened at Rock Island, down 28-3 at halftime. And the streak shut them out in the second half, but just never could get back in the game.
Yep.
You just can't bury yourself into a hole like this against such a strong opponent.
Well, and if we make the playoffs, which we still figure we're going to have enough points to do, get ready for another powerhouse. I'm not sure where we're going, but at 5-4, we're going to travel and probably travel to a 9-0 team somewhere.
Yep. Or at worst, 8-1.
Yep. We were speculating possibly Metamora. They try and keep it somewhat geographical anymore. It used to be they'd send you clear across the state without even thinking about it. But
yeah. Normal U-High's 8-0. I would almost think the streaks might go there.
Yep.
Just for somewhat proximity. I'd rather go there than Morris, I can tell you that.
That's a juggernaut up there, and that's a long trip.
Speaking of which, Morris is playing Caneland tonight. They're both
8-0. Oh, wow, that's a game. That probably favored, because Caneland's a big, high-powered throwing team, and I'm not sure if they're having the kind of weather we are, you can be able to throw the ball a whole lot tonight, so that might tip the scales in favor of Morris in that one.
True. That's the conference that DeKalb plays in, and as from the Silver Streaks perspective, DeKalb got a big win last week over Yorkville. I think it was 47-0, but the Streaks were just happy to get a DeKalb victory to strengthen their playoff possibilities with that win, because DeKalb's probably not going to win tonight. They play Rochelle. The only two games Rochelle has lost this year are to Morris and to Caneland. They're 6-2.
Well, and we were talking with Jane Miller up in the press box from the Peoria Journal-Star, and she was bragging on the accommodations at Metamora with a beautiful press box facility and dining in there and everything. So we thought, well, okay, we'll go play Metamora.
No.
The team may not like that, but the broadcasters will.
3rd and 3 upcoming for Richwoods. They have not been stopped on 3rd down yet. Here's Davis on the keeper trying to get to the outside. He gets enough of the corner across the 25, close to the 30-yard line, and that is enough to move the chains. As a little scramble of a run by Michael Davis. You can tell he's struggling, obviously, on the field, trying to make that cutback, but he's still getting enough footing to do it, and he's quick enough that he doesn't need much of an ability to cut back, and he can make good yardage out. He'll gain 7 to the 30.
Well, you know, one thing about the rain that we've had and the cloud cover, it's kept it, I won't say it's warm down here, but it's a far cry better than the 38 expected low. Now, it may get there later tonight, but I'm guessing it's probably still 50, maybe a little above out here.
47, actually.
Okay.
According to my Weather Channel app. On 1st and 10, handoff to Foster across the 30. Good stop by the Silver Streaks defense. Call it a gain of a couple on 1st down. Ryan Darby with the initial stop. Sure they're going to give him just a yard. Under 5 minutes to play here in the first half. Streaks down 21-3 in St. Louis. Giants batting top of the fifth, leading 4-0 over St. Louis. And that half ending just ended, so we go to the bottom of the fifth. Cardinals trying to rally back. They've threatened a few times, had runners at second and third, had the bases loaded, had another runner at third, haven't gotten any of those guys home, so it's back to some of the problems they were having offensively earlier in the series after scoring 8 last night. Hand off to Foster running right, just across right tackle, across the 35 to the 36-yard line.
And all O'Brien Allen on the tackle that time. He didn't need any help. Tell you what, this isn't a conference game, but he's All-Western Big Six if anybody is. He's been tremendous this year.
Well, he will miss out on his opportunity to be All-Midwest 10 next year. We haven't talked about that schedule yet. We've had it for several weeks now, but haven't really had much of a chance to talk about it on the air. We might be able to do that tonight. Well, here goes Foster again. Found an opening across the left side, and good job by the Silver Streaks defense to kind of hang tight with him. Trevon Diggins made an initial stop to kind of cut off the angle, then got a hold of him and just ran him out of bounds, but not until he got to the Galesburg 43-yard line.
Yeah, I guess since we're playing a Peoria school that's going to be a conference school for us next year, we can get to that at some point in the evening.
Yeah, and there have been a lot more of those games going on than we've seen in previous years. For example, Peoria and United Township playing tonight. Alleman and Richwood's playing each other earlier mm-hmm. this season. Galesburg's been the one team that typically has played the Peoria schools just for proximity. The fact that the Mid-State 6 and the Western Big 6 works out very well for those two teams in previous years with those 3 non-conference games and the one at the end of the season like this one, so it was natural to play each other. Now they'll do it every week starting next year. Second and 6 coming from the Galesburg 39-yard line as Richwoods continues to move a little closer to the Galesburg red zone. Under 3.5 minutes to go first half, and the Knights leading 21-3. Lost 2 of their first 3 games this year. Haven't lost since. They are ready for the playoffs. Hand off to Jeremy Johnson right up the middle. Good hole at the initial line of scrimmage. And he just blasted right through it before Will Anderson finally stopped him at the 25.
Yeah, I think Johnson was probably thinking touchdown there because he broke through right up the middle. But Will Anderson just gobbled him up from the backside with a terrific tackle that saved the touchdown.
So first down now from the Silver Streaks 25-yard line. Try to get you an update on some of the other Galesburg opponents playing tonight, if we can, before we go to halftime. Again, very important for as many Galesburg opponents to win tonight as the Streaks can get. Michael Davis tries to keep it, coming out of the quarterback draw, and Anderson with the initial hit takes him down for a loss. O'Brien Allen also there to help finish him off. Take Davis down for a loss of just a yard, but a loss nevertheless. Kills some momentum, at least briefly. Second and 11 from the Galesburg 27-yard line with 2:29 and counting here in the second quarter. 18-point Richwoods lead. Knights won this game last year 38-8 in total domination. That was a year they lost their first 3 games of the season. And then won out to the state championship game before finally losing. But never mind, those first 3 games last year were Metamora, Joliet Catholic, and was it Washington last year? That's who they played this year, too.
Yeah.
Lost to Washington in the second game of the year this year after beating Metamora 18-14 in the opener this year. So I mean, Rich was done back away from anybody, and when you've got it rolling like they do, of course, they've been a powerhouse for many, many years, and they'll take on anybody.
Well, in the Washington situation, I was surprised. And they got, what, they lose like 50-0 or something to Metamora last week. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Well, they apparently one or two of their players they were counting on got hurt before the season even started, but they were still good. And then I guess they lost their leading fullback and 2 other guys. They said they are just decimated with injuries right now in Washington.
Rock Island has fallen behind to Glenbard South, 20-14 at the half. So still a long ways to go in that one. Moline continues to lead Rich South, although it's now down to 16-12 in the second quarter there. And halftime with Peoria High School leading Oneida Township 28-0. Told you earlier about the big game Harrison Hale is having there. He scored the first three Lions scores there with touchdown runs of 84, 88, and 48. So let's see, 172. That's 220 yards rushing on just three touchdown runs. Who knows how much else he's done. And then Darian Simmons had a 40-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown for their fourth score.
Well, and UT, one of the teams that Jonathan Mixon had a 300-yard night on, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Mercer County leads Anawan Weathersfield 14-0. So there you go, Jim. There's that
spread.
There's that 14 points you were talking about. Keep an eye on that one as well. Two 8-0 teams doing battle in the Lincoln Trail. Coming out of the Knights timeout on 3rd and 7. Handoff up the middle. Foster found a little bit of a hole, and then the streak secondary stops him and pushes him backwards. I don't think he got past the 17-yard line. Line judge standing on the 18. Let's see where they spot this. They'll be a couple of yards short of the first down either way in two down territory, but some encouragement on the fact that the streak stopped the Knights on third down for the first time tonight. Now we'll see if they can stop them on 4th and 2.
Foster probably getting up every time thinking, if I could just get rid of this number 40, I could have a huge night. O'Brien Allen is, I think almost every time that Foster's been tackled, it's been O'Brien that's been there on the job.
He only has 164 yards rushing tonight. And now whistles as both teams come set. Now the Knights spurn their final timeout with 47 seconds to go before halftime, facing 4th and 2.
Well, just think, if he would have got to keep that punt return, he'd be doing some great all-purpose yardage tonight, that's for sure. We're down 21-3, but we've dodged a couple of bullets.
Sure
when Davis dropped a potential touchdown pass wide open at the 50, and Foster had taken a punt back for a touchdown that got flagged for a holding call.
He does have one punt return for a touchdown earlier this season, so the kid can just score in any number of ways. Again, coming up at halftime, we're 47 seconds away from that. Silver Streaks down 21-3. We'll talk Galesburg High School volleyball with head coach Marla Clay and find out about how their preparations are going for the upcoming end of the season. One of the stars of the team, Tori Worsfold, was the flag raiser tonight here at Van Dyke Field. And I'm sure she was anxious to head back into the gym after a night like this one. Although the rain has subsided quite a bit. Just a very light mist at this point. Knights coming out of their timeout. Davis in at quarterback. 4th and 2 upcoming from the Silver Streaks 17-yard line. Split backfield behind Davis, and now whistles fly again. Or actually the flags fly. The whistle didn't fly. And that's going to be false start against Richwoods. It'll go back to 4th and 7.
The officials got some help that time as several of the Silver Streaks, including Michael Moss, were pointing at the right side of the Richwoods offensive line. Somebody moved something there, and it wasn't soon after Michael pointed the officials blew that whistle. And so now we'll see if they stick with Davis at quarterback. Nope, they're going to go with the thrower. Bears in there.
Cardinals go quietly bottom of the 5th. 4-0 Giants heading to the 6th in St. Louis. 4th and 7 for Richwoods, and a fumble on the snap. Bears kicks it or picks it up, and the Silver Streaks are able to pile on top. And whether he recovered or not, the Knights are going to give it up on a down, on downs or turnover, either way. And Galesburg takes over, 42 seconds to go before halftime, inside their own 25. So a defensive stop, that helps the Silver Streaks. Certainly don't want to fall back any farther than 21-3 right before halftime. They'll have it at their own 23.
Yeah, it looked to me like they were probably going to go to Javier Ross. There was one-on-run coverage over here on the wideout for Richwoods. He's a pretty good target. It lists him at 6'1 on the program. I swear the kid's taller than that. But, and in fact, it looked like Bears was actually trying to pull out and had his body directed that way, but he forgot the football.
Streaks are going to run a play right up the middle. Good handoff and a big hit at the end of the play. Good run by the sophomore again, as Christian Powers just took it right through a huge hole up the middle to the 35-yard line. He gains 12. Biggest run of the night for Christian Powers. 3 carries, 17 yards now. His first carry went for negative yardage. Galesburg with 27 seconds, brings the line set at the 35. Hand off to Powers again. Covers up, and much shorter gain this time. Very modest gain just across the 25.
If we hustle it, we can get one more play out of this before the half hits.
35, rather. He'll gain two. And with 6 seconds to go, the clock stops, and now they roll it again, and Gelsberg will not get off one more play before halftime. So the Streaks get a field goal and then give up a long run to the Knights on the very next play after the kick, and that's where we stand at halftime. 21-3, the ninth-rated Knights looking every bit a tough and difficult opponent that we anticipated coming into tonight. Again at halftime, Streaks volleyball coach Marla Clay's visit with Jim Lee. When we come back after that here at Senior Night at Van Dyke Field, we'll run through first half statistics, scores, and again in the Cardinal game in St. Louis, 4-0 Giants, top of the sixth. You're listening to Gelsberg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Gelsberg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Gelsberg, by Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Turns out, saying things like, wouldn't it be great if, and remember when we were able to, were just a big waste of time. See, our bodies were having trouble keeping up with our spirits, so we thought we would have to give up the things we enjoyed. That was until we discovered Handy Van. Now we're saying things like, let's do lunch.
Your life may be different because of a temporary or permanent disability, but that certainly shouldn't hold you back. Allow us to take you and your friends to and from your leisurely lunch. Stop by our office in the community center for details. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Picture this. Your car has been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Gelsberg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Gelsberg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Gelsberg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with scattered showers, a low of 38. Tomorrow, sunny and a high near 57. Tomorrow night, clear, low 43. And for Sunday, sunshine again, high near 72. By Monday, cloudy with a chance for showers back into the picture and a high of 73. For Tuesday, clouds and a high 74. Right now, we do have cloudy skies, scattered showers in the area and 47. At Gelsberg Radio 14, WGIL.
GIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football. I'm Jim Lee for Gelsberg Radio 14 as we turn our attention to the volleyball program at Gelsberg High School, and they're getting set for the postseason. Coach Marla Clay joins us now, and Coach, you had a season where I know you didn't maybe start as well as you wanted, but it seems like the girls have played a little bit better as the season has gone along.
Yeah, we've really been up and down this year. We've had some matches where we were just outstanding and some other matches where it's like, could this possibly be the same team? And a lot of times that happens in volleyball, but lately I think the girls have been playing really hard. We just went to Alleman this week on Tuesday and kind of started pretty flat, and they have a really low gym, and a ball hit the rafter and Brooke Van Attigan made an unbelievable save. And it just lit a fire under us, and we rolled then. So that was really good to see, and we're hoping we can keep building on it because we have a 3-game win streak going right now.
Well, and one of your highlights of the season had to be the win over Moline in conference play. I know the girls are pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, it was really huge because Moline came in, and, you know, they have great height. And Mr. Van Meter said when he watched them warm up, he thought it was going to be a quick game, but he didn't think it would go the way it did. Just because, you know, they were such strong hitters. But, you know, we came out, and we came out really fast, and we hit the ball well, and we blocked. And I think we had 7 blocks against them that night, so we really shut down their hitting and really had a pretty easy time of it, which I'm sure this weekend they'll be ready to get us. So I know it's not going to be that easy this weekend, but we'll get to play them again on Saturday.
Yeah, I was looking when you sent out a list before the season of your roster and your strengths and your weaknesses. The thing that you were concerned about was the blocking, but it sounds like at least on that night it was pretty good.
Yeah, they've really surprised me. Early in the season, we worked really hard on our blocking and pressing over the net to get blocks. And, you know, I would say the first week of the season, we weren't very good at it, but we've really come along. And I think for the size that we have, we block very well for a team.
Who are some of your leading players, probably some of your outgoing seniors? I know it's always tough to lose them, but I know probably Sharon Diggins, one of those that's been doing great for you.
Yeah, she is. We have three seniors that's really been strong at the net and usually leading us in kills each match. And Sharon's one of them, and Katie McGee and Tori Worsfold. And Tori on Tuesday had 13 kills in the match, and that was her season high for a match.
How about serving? Is that something that once a person gets into their varsity level that they kind of plateau? Have they got to a point where, yes, this is a good server, or this is just one that basically tries to get it into play? Or is there constant improvement in that area?
I think there's constant improvement, and I would say our serving's been pretty strong this year. We've been very consistent, which is good, but you know, we start off with Michaela Creech serving, and she's a nice server, and she places the ball really well, and she has gotten quite a few aces this year. Tori's a very strong server. Sharon's a strong server. Katie's a strong server. So we really go to the line with a lot of kids, getting us some aces, getting us some easy points. But, you know, as the game's improved, I think it's hard to get those aces, so you really have to work at your service game and placing it and really making great contact on the ball.
I had a chance to watch a lot of volleyball at the Olympics, and I just sat there in awe of the ability of these players, not only the speed that they play at, the blocking, but also the ability to dig. I would guess if some of your girls watched what was going on at the Olympics, they see what's possible, but boy, that was really quite a display, wasn't it?
It really is amazing, and when you start playing at a higher level, I think, you know, a lot of people think of volleyball and they think of what they do in the backyard, and that the game has come so far with the rally scoring and the fast pace of the game. And, you know, I look at what we used to do as a team and the attacks that we're running now, and it's really progressed, and it's amazing what kids can do.
You a fan of the rally scoring when the change came about?
You know, I really was, and I know a lot of coaches were really upset about it when it first started, and I kind of embraced it because, you know, a lot of times you kind of had to give up a little hold on your team because there were certain plays that I did not want run if we didn't have the serve, because they were plays that could go either way, and it was really a timing play, so usually I wanted those run when we were serving. And you just had to let go of that and let the kids play. And I think it's so much more fun for the fans to watch because the game does move quickly. And it really shows you how momentum plays a huge, huge part in the game.
How about your rotations? Are you using a lot of players this year, a lot of depth, or have you stayed pretty much with the top eight or nine?
Pretty much we have about 10 people that are getting consistent playing time. And, you know, with volleyball, it's a game where rotations are hard and momentum's hard. So usually, you know, you want a couple people that you can just put in when things go wrong and you can try to get a little change. So I would say basically 9 to 10 people is what we've been playing.
How long have you been doing this now, Marla?
Forever. I think this is my 18th or 19th season. I don't know. It's a lot. And I was like 6 years at the sophomore level, so ever since I've been working in Galesburg, I've been doing volleyball.
The game has changed a lot. We talked about the rally scoring, and you were saying how much better players have gotten at some of the digs and that sort of thing. How have you adjusted as a coach over those years?
I think probably the one thing that I've learned is I need to stay calm in games, because kids really do react on if you get upset, if you're crazy about a call. That's not necessarily a good thing, because then they want to be crazy about a call. And I think just learning as a coach as you go along, you really need to stay calm. It's not about you putting on a show, because I always laugh when, you know, some coaches want to argue every call. It's not really worth it. You're playing a game. And volleyball has a lot of sportsmanship in it. So I think it's nice to go and see the kids be the showcase and not what's going on the sidelines.
going towards the regional, which starts tomorrow on Saturday. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, Saturday's our conference. Yeah. So we'll have the conference, and we'll play Moline right out of the chute, and then Quincy will play UT and Moline, and then we'll play UT. And I'm excited about Saturday because if we can get the two wins on Saturday, we'll finish 6-4 in the conference. Right now we're 4-4. We've beaten Moline once this year, and we've beaten UT once this year. So hopefully we can have a good Saturday and come out with a 6-4 record in the conference.
And then we're seeing a regional matchup with Monmouth-Roseville. Interesting, most people would think the Monmouth-Roseville was smaller, but how did that play out?
I believe in the summer I heard the IHSA decided to take the four class systems and put 25% in each class. And I think Monmouth-Roseville just had some bad luck that they were one of the bigger 2A schools, and they moved them up. So it'll be interesting because we've never played them.
And where's that at?
That's at Geneseo.
All right, so first ever meeting, and hopefully advancing on. Who's the favorite up there?
IVC got the number one seed.
All right, anything else for us, Marlis? We get toward the, believe it or not, the end of the season here.
It's crazy how fast it goes.
All right, well, thanks for a few minutes of your time at halftime, and best wishes, hopefully many more years here at Galesburg High for you.
Thank you.
Marla Clay, the volleyball coach of the Silver Streaks, our guest at halftime. We'll be back with some of the statistics, a talk with the coach, and kick off the second half after this on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
A marijuana grow operation in the 200 block of California Street in East Galesburg was raided Wednesday. Knox County deputies and East Galesburg police recovered 19 cannabis plants along with marijuana paraphernalia. Authorities say the investigation is continuing. It took 12 years, but the former tourism director Diane Bruning finally decorated the giant rock outside the Welcome Center. It's now dedicated with a plaque that simply reads, "In memory of Diane Bruning, director of tourism 1998 to 2010. Bruning retired as tourism director in 2011 and passed away in July of this year. Friends, family, and coworkers thought it was fitting to decorate the giant rock she spent so many years trying to decorate with a plaque in her honor. Bruning's son, Jared, says he's very touched by the memorial and thinks his mother would have just smiled at the irony. I'm Alexis Corey. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Both presidential campaigns hitting battleground states. Mitt Romney with Paul Ryan tonight in Daytona Beach, Florida.
They have no agenda for the future. No agenda for America. No agenda for a second term. It's a good thing they won't have a second term.
President Obama earlier today hitting Mitt Romney with a new jab.
If you say you'll protect a woman's right to choose, but you stand up at a primary debate and said that you'd be delighted to sign a law outlawing that right to choose in all cases. Man, you definitely got Romneysia.
The president campaigning in Fairfax, Virginia, and a new Fox News poll showing virtual ties between both campaigns in Ohio and in Florida. President Obama up by 3 points in Ohio, Mitt Romney with a 3-point lead in Florida. The next debate on foreign policy in Florida coming up on Monday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
celebrated Peoria Richwood's ninth lead, the Silver Streaks 21-3. Both teams out back on the field for warm-ups. We'll get a word from the Streaks coaching staff momentarily. Cardinals continue to trail. The San Francisco Giants 4-0. As that game now moves into the seventh inning, Barry Zito has shut down the Cardinals after St. Louis threatened early on, had the bases loaded, but couldn't get anybody home with one out in the second inning, and Giants put up a four spot in the fourth, and that's where that game continues in the seventh inning at Busch Stadium. Meanwhile, here, the Knights scored on their first two possessions of the game. They put together an 11-play scoring drive on their opening possession that covered 57 yards and 5 minutes and 13 seconds. And then Trevon Diggins fumbled on the Streaks' first offensive possession of the first quarter. And the Knights took over at the Galesburg 45-yard line. They took just 7 plays to run it in from there, 3 minutes and 18 seconds. And it was 14-0. Galesburg did get on the board with a 25-yard field goal from Tanner Laird. That followed a Richwood's fumble at the Galesburg, or rather at the Knights' 10-yard line. And before we continue the rest of the scoring, let's go down to the field as Jim Lee. Well, Jim Lee will get a word with Tim Doherty here in a moment.
He had to make an obvious. One of the officials came over and said, "You want the ball, right?" Now they've got into another discussion here. But
well, considering that we kicked off to start the game, yes, that's definite. All right, now Tim's headed your way, Jim.
All right. Okay, Coach, just a couple of thoughts on the first half. Obviously, you knew Foster was going to be a problem. He got away once from us. Otherwise, feel good about some of the things that happened, Coach?
Well, I mean, they had the ball. I think we only had about 10, 11 plays. But, they're a good football team. And, our kids are battling, and they had a couple big plays. And we just have to start fast in what we did.
Yeah. Haven't given up much inside. It's been when they've gone outside they've had bigger success. Did you expect that?
Yeah, they're just trading out their quarterbacks, and they got a lot of skills, and they got a lot of weapons, and we'll just continue to battle.
Thanks, Coach.
You bet.
As always, our thanks to Streaks head coach Tim Doherty, giving us a few minutes of insight from the team at the coming out of the halftime break. Again, 21-3, the Knights are on top. So again, the Streaks got that 25-yard field goal from Tanner Laird after the Knights fumbled it at their own 10-yard line. So, but the Streaks, more importantly, weren't able to get it into the end zone. So they were happy to get points, but not the points that they were hoping to get on such a short field on that possession. And then back came Kendrick Foster. On the very next play after the Streaks kickoff, 80-yard touchdown run. They had a 16-second possession. 80-yard run. 21-3 is where we stand at halftime. Galesburg will have the ball to start the second half. I want to give you an update. At last I checked here, it didn't look like any of the scores had changed from the last update we gave you from some of the other Big Six teams that were playing. Rock Island trailing Glenbard South 20-14, and it's now actually 27-14 Glenbard South, so that's bad news for the Silver Streaks. They need Rock Island to get that win, but Rocky down 2 touchdowns now in the second half. Moline, on the other hand, after seeing their 16-3 lead cut to 16-12, now leads Rich South 29-12 in the fourth quarter. So a win for Moline would be another playoff point for the Silver Streaks, and Peoria has added a touchdown in the third quarter. The Lions now leading United Township 35-0. Of course, that game is a wash for the Silver Streaks.
Right, we're going to win one there no matter what.
Yep, playoff points determined by the number of wins that a team's opponent gain over the course of the season. Galesburg came into tonight with 37 playoff points. In other words, the 9 opponents that Galesburg has played have totaled 37 wins after Alleman won a rare Thursday night game last night. Last year, it took 40 points to get into the playoffs, but that was a record high. It had never been that high in the IHSA, even after going to the 8-class playoff system 10 years ago. The Knights will kick off into the air, and they will give Holloway a chance to return one as he fields it at the 12. Upfield, finds a little bit of a hole and then taken down just short of the 30-yard line at about the 28, and we are underway in the second half. Good luck to Joey Clays of Galesburg, our contestant in the Hungry Jim, I've done real good not saying it since about the second week, but the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest. Good luck to Joey Clays. If the Streaks score a touchdown in this third quarter, Joey wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. From the 29-yard line, back to pass, Isaacson flushed out of the pocket, rolling to the home side of the field. Now he'll tuck it in, and he'll run upfield to the 35-yard line and pushed out of bounds at the sideline. And you might have heard the coaching staff barking for a late hit, but he was just shoved out of bounds. Never did see a flag come down, and it'll be second and five. Nice little run by Peyton Isaacson. Actually, they're going to give him another yard. It'll be second and four.
Well, I'll tell you what, the official over here gave it back to our coaching staff as bad as they were giving it to him. he really laid them out.
Best run of the night for Peyton Isaacson. He was sacked on a play earlier. Now the Streaks tried to go up the gut, and there is nothing there. Christian Powers with the carry. He'll gain maybe a yard on the play. It'll bring up third and three. Actually, well, they're going to give him two. So third and short yardage for the Silver Streaks coming up here. The sophomore getting his first start on the varsity level here tonight. Has five carries for 21 yards. Galesburg has not converted on third down yet tonight. 0 for 4. The Knights have been terrific on third down. Now they'll go with a pitch to Holloway, trying to get to the outside. Gets just enough for the first down up to the 45-yard line. Good little run by Holloway. A patient run as the defense strung him out to the outside, but good lead blocking along the way as Robbie Dowers getting the start tonight on the offensive line. And Derek Brackett helped spring Holloway free up to the 45. That goes as a gain of 7. Holloway's been held quiet offensively tonight. 4 carries for 18 yards, and the Streaks finally get that first third down conversion from the 45-yard line, trailing 21-3. Fake to the second man through, trying to get to the outside, and Holloway's hit pretty hard for no gain at the 45.
We've been fooled a couple of times tonight when the rain let up, thinking that maybe that's it, but I think maybe that really is it tonight. There's still a little sprinkle here and there, but for the most part, it's gotten a little more breezy and turned cooler. We were talking earlier tonight how the rain actually kept it from being quite so cold, but I think you're starting to see that northwest wind kick in a little bit, and the players starting to blow on their hands a little bit down here as well.
I was going to check on the wind chill. It's still 47 degrees. That's where it was when we kicked off, and that's where it stayed. Haven't seen it move up or down either way, so still 47 degrees. And the feels like, I don't know if you can call it a wind chill just yet, but the feels like reading is at 41.
Well, and I probably got spoiled being up in the press box at halftime, so it feels a little colder down here for a few minutes anyway.
Yeah, we've done that a number of times this season, haven't we? Been in the press box thinking, okay, well, it didn't get nearly as cold as we thought it would until you go outside to talk to the coach.
Especially
at
Rock Island that night. That was a cold one.
All right, third and nine as the Streaks have gone nowhere after moving the chains on third down. Back to pass. Holloway intercepted. A lame duck thrown to the outside and right into the hands of Nick Parks. All he had to do was just turn around and receive it, and the Streaks make the defensive stop at the 40-yard line. Second turnover of the night for Galesburg, and for the second time, Knights get great field position out of it. They'll have it at
again,
the 40.
You know, Peyton Isaacson's coming off the field. He's mad at himself, but That ball, he threw it just like he did the one in the first half. He can't get any grip on it, and as he goes to throw it, the ball just kind of comes out instead of the point out. He's just throwing the flat side of it forward. You can't get any direction on that at all, much less any power. The thing just hung up in the air right into the hands of the Richwoods player.
So the Knights will have it at the Galesburg 39-yard line, 9:22 to go, already leading 21-3. Again, we're keeping an eye on the Cardinals game for you. The Giants do not score in the seventh inning. So at the stretch in St. Louis, score holding at 4-0 as Barry Zito continues to do a number on the St. Louis Cardinals. Short gain on first down for Richards as the Streaks defend it well. This has been their pattern for the last half of the season, especially once we got into the Western Big Six. Moline got a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter that made that game so tight. And since then, Galesburg has been fantastic in the third and fourth quarters. They've given up only 6 points in the third quarter all season, and their defense needs to do the same thing here tonight, down 21-3, and needs to play that kind of rigid, stiff defense to keep them into the game again. But they haven't seen anything quite like Kendrick Foster, and he bounces to the outside, and they contain him for a gain of 5, third and 5 upcoming.
Yeah, Will Anderson on the tackle there again that time for the Silver Streaks. And I would imagine you'd see Richwoods do nothing but keep it on the ground and just keep the clock moving here in this second half. As we said in the first half, we wouldn't be surprised, too, if they felt comfortable that they would have Foster take a good part of the half off, but I think they would probably need to finish off one more score before they ever got to where they were, I guess, comfortable.
So third and, we'll call it third and a long seven. Davis will keep it, and the Streaks again defend it well. Davis tried to bounce to the outside. He got across the 35-yard line to about the 34, but Streaks continue to play that stiff third-quarter defense, and let's see if Richwood's actually going to punt here.
Ryan Darby on the tackle again. Two of the last three plays, he's been involved in that. Ryan able to step up. He's been getting more time, of course, since Jonathan Mixon went down.
They will not punt.
Defensive side, yeah.
Well, at least it doesn't look like they're going to punt. Max Bears comes in, the quarterback, who throws the ball. Little screen pass, dumping it to the outside. A great defensive stop by the Silver Streaks as he tried to get it up the Galesburg sideline, and Galesburg just absolutely shut him down.
I don't know if you heard that or not.
Tyson
Parks, whoo, he came over and stopped him dead in his tracks. He was going to try and turn the corner and get that first down, and Tyson just came over and just erased him over here at about the 33-yard line.
So it's 7-19. The defense holds. Richwoods gives it up on downs, and the Silver Streaks take over. 7-19 to go. They limit the Knights to just a two-minute possession there. And Galesburg takes over at their own 34-yard line. Joined by Galesburg High School Principal Roy Van Meter, who's just finishing off term number one in his new position here at Galesburg. Roy, thanks for being with us on the air tonight.
Happy to be here.
And wish we were happy to have you on a better night, at least weather-wise and score-wise. Still a long way to go in this one. Your impressions of Silver Streaks football through the first season you've been here?
Well, I'm very impressed by the work ethic of our students all throughout the school, but especially our football team.
After a gain of six, handoff going to the outside. Diggins tries to get to the corner, dragged down from behind. A high tackle made up at the shoulders, but he does get the first down across the 45 to the 47-yard line. What's been your approach here, Roy, in your first term? Of course, you came in actually in the summer, so just because the school year started, you'd been here for a while. How have you kind of approached the principalship job?
Well, I've kind of taken stock of all the great people I get to work with, and I'm a firm believer in the team concept and collaborating, that we're all better off working together and that we bring a lot of strengths to the table.
And off up the middle, Powers with a good run out of the fullback spot. He's into Richwood's territory, down to the 41-yard line. Just tucked that ball in, covered it up with two arms, and blasted right up the middle. And Streaks' offensive line trying to finally creating some holes for the Silver Streaks running game. Powers' best run of the night. And the Streaks move the chains after a gain of 12. And off to the right side, Diggins tries to cut back to the middle. A short gain. He'll pick up two, maybe three, just getting it inside the 40-yard line. Is that kind of how you have to approach a new principalship job? I mean, you can't really come in, I suppose, with too many preconceived notions about what you want to do. Do you have to kind of evaluate how things go a little bit before you can start to say, all right, here's where I think we can go from here?
Well, I think you do a lot of on-the-job research, you know, talking to everybody, getting everybody's input. And then you go from there, you try and find out what the strengths and weaknesses are.
Best thrown ball of the night by Peyton Isaacson found Ben Holloway cutting up the home side of the field, and he just couldn't hang on to it, just short of the 20-yard line.
Yeah, Holloway not the first guy tonight that's had trouble hanging on to a pass, and that was would have been a first down. It was well run, well thrown ball by Peyton Isaacson. But on a slippery night, you really have to, again, I think he was trying to catch that pretty much hands. You've got to kind of get that thing tucked in.
Peyton 0 for 3 with an interception tonight. And the running play up the middle goes nowhere. Under 5.5 minutes to play, third quarter. Galesburg down 21-3. Galesburg High School Principal Roy Van Meter joining us here in the booth. Galesburg will have it fourth down at the 35-yard line and a defensive timeout. So through the first term, which ends today, now we move into the second term. You have made some changes already at the high school. I don't know how much the community is aware of certainly the courtyard was one of the first things you did very early on in the term. That I think was very popular with the students.
Well, and just a beautiful space out there that I know the architects had in mind about 50 years ago, and and so to me it seemed like a shame not to take advantage of that, and some of our summer working students cleaned that all up for us and trimmed some trees, and it became even more beautiful, and we've had some great weather to enjoy it too.
Yeah. How do you approach that now? What happens is the kids can go out there after they eat their lunch, and as long as they keep things clean out there. As the weather starts to change, do we leave it open as long as it stays relatively mild? At what point do you have to say, well, maybe it's not the best time to go out there anymore?
Well, we try to avoid the wet days because we don't really have any way of keeping the interior clean when we drag it all back in with us. As the weather gets colder, it'll probably be up to whoever has to supervise up there and their cold tolerance.
Sure. Galesburg will go for it on fourth down here coming out of the Knights timeout. It'll be fourth and a short five at the Richwoods 35-yard line. 5:19 to go here in the third quarter. Streaks down by 18. Isaacson brings the team set and now comes up out as he will call a timeout. Wanted to take a look at what the Knights were going to do to defend this fourth down play.
I think they've orchestrated this just perfectly so we could talk to Principal Van Meter for quite a while.
Well, like I tell everybody, I have a face for radio and a voice for silent movies.
Don't sell yourself short. You're doing a great job.
Probably the biggest thing happening at the high school right now is Operation Rebuild. That's gotten a lot of focus. There's been lots and lots of meetings going on. That's kind of a nice situation to come into as a new principal, huh?
Well, it is. Obviously, the community is showing a commitment to our students and to future generations of students, and that's really exciting. It's a great position to be in, and we are enjoying that. We're getting to dream a little bit and share a lot of great ideas.
That also, I suppose, presents some challenges for a new principal coming in, because some of that was underway before you got in here, and you know it. You got to kind of work yourself in there and try to exert some influence and obviously try to get familiar with a building that's new to you, too, and try to get some ideas about what you think needs to be done, too, right?
Well, it takes a lot of research, a lot of conversations, and the people are very, very helpful to talk to me and fill me in on things I need to know as we help make decisions and as people ask for your input. And it's nice because through this whole process, they've been very, very collaborative, asking everybody's opinion on their thoughts on the project, and so I think everybody's getting their say.
It's a good way for you to get to know the community too, I'm sure.
Very much. It gives me a lot of insight into the inner workings of Galesburg, so it's been fun, actually.
What do you like about the community?
Well, I tell you what, I keep trying a new restaurant every week with my wife, and we have a long way to go before we run out. And I have a lot of new favorites, and it's been very enjoyable. But unfortunately, it's been about 10 pounds extra since I got here, too.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
All right, Knights take over after the Streaks could not convert the fourth down. Kendrick Foster is still in the game, getting to the outside, running up the home side of the field, and he's back into Galesburg territory inside the 45 before the Streaks finally stop him at the 43-yard line. So another big run by Kendrick Foster, and he's going to be over 200 yards in no time.
Yeah, once he got that sideline, I was afraid he was going to turn the Jets on, but the Streaks, a couple of them, including Anderson and Parks, had an angle on him, and Tyson, for the second time this quarter, comes up with a big hit over here along the sidelines. His Streaks teammates were proud of him for putting one on the All-Stater there and preventing him from taking another one to the house.
And that run does put him over the 200-yard rushing mark for the night. Biggest individual performance the Streaks have given up all season long, but understandably so. Streaks have seen him for 4 years now, and he has truly gotten better every single year. And you can see why he is recruited among Division I schools.
Yeah, we always swear that Richwoods has backs that stay there about 6 years. They had a guy named Jerry James around.
He was the one I was thinking of earlier. Yeah.
Man, that kid just seemed like he had a career at Richwoods. He made a career against us running up and down the field.
Sure did. They just reuse and recycle that position. They find kids who can just do a great job. And, of course, the offensive line has to get a lot of the credit, too, for the holes that they open up out of for that fullback position. We should remind our listeners, I guess, Roy, while we've got you here, you were no stranger to the Galesburg community. You had some familiarity with it from previous years.
Well, yeah, even from a young age, I've been coming down here, and my mom actually graduated here back in, I think it was 1953. And so there were family gatherings down here, picnics at Lake Story, swimming in Lake Story. And then later, my family, we settled in Galva, actually, for a little while. We did groceries here while I taught in that area, and before we moved to the other side of the state for 17 years. And very happy to be back. I love it over here.
Well, it's been enjoyable to have you here tonight with us on the air and certainly through the first term at GHS. Where do you look to go here for the rest of this school year now? Do you feel like you've got your feet planted enough now that you can start to say, okay, this is what I want to do?
Well, I think the next steps, you know, we're going to actually have to start looking toward next year and scheduling and class offerings and curriculum and things like that. So second term will be pretty busy getting in as good a position to pull off the second half of the year as possible. So second term will be probably even busier than first term.
Well, it never stops, that's for sure.
No, it's a year-round thing.
All right, Richwitz has now moved it inside the 20-yard line. Roy, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate you giving us some time on the air tonight.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep, thank you, Roy. Right.
Have a good night.
New principal Roy Van Meter joining us here on the air as nothing's happened score-wise anyway, but the Knights are on the move again. They have now moved it down to the 20-yard line with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and the Silver Streaks, who have not given up a touchdown in the third quarter. Now I got to think about that, Jim. They shut out DeKalb, so it wasn't that game. I don't think Morton scored until late. I think it was Peoria. I think it was the Lions, the only team that scored against Galesburg in the third quarter until just now. Kendrick Foster.
That was bound to happen.
Jumps, dances, jukes, cuts, and runs impressively. A 29-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, he was able to, you know, we talked about tonight you can't cut. Well, over in this particular area of the field, down around the 20-yard line on the side, the grass is still in great shape. And so he was able to cut a little bit, and then he did a little gallop, a little hurdle over the top of one guy, and just went into the end zone easily.
It gives you, at least it does me, makes me even so much more impressed what Alleman was able to do against these guys, watching what they've done. Now, granted, that was the third week of the season. We're talking week 9 here as Richwoods boots the extra point through to make it 28-3. But the fact that they rolled up, what was it, 41 points on the Knights, beat them 41-26, I think. I'd have to look back at my scores. But, you know, they got that lead on them. They built a big lead, and then they just, you know, Richwoods would score, and then they just turn around and score again, and they just held them off. And we certainly know what Alleman can do, but the fact that they did that against this team.
Yeah, well, and that's what shocked me so much, that they were held to, what, 7 points against Rocky last week?
Yeah, in overtime.
Yeah.
10-7.
So, obviously, Coach Brian Stort's doing a great job with the Rocks, although I've been a little surprised they've been having some trouble up there tonight, the score you've been giving us. We've got Jacob Ryden down here over on the Streaks sideline.
He was slow to get up after the Foster touchdown run.
Yeah.
Yeah, 41-26 is when Alleman won that game.
But as Coach Brown told us, they made some changes. That's part of the reason they wanted that tough early season schedule, was to see what they needed to tweak. I mean, they basically had 3 seasons. They played the playoffs for 3 weeks against 3 great teams.
Yeah.
Then they mowed down everybody in their conference, like they usually do, and are handling us pretty well here tonight, too. And then they're going to go into playoffs round 2 starting next week. And Jacob Ryden is up. He's still not able to put a whole lot of weight on that right leg yet.
The mist continues to fall. Very short kick taken by J.J. Range at the 25-yard line, and he's wrapped up and taken down short of the 30. Rock Island does continue to trail. That game has moved into the fourth quarter. Glenbard South leading 27-14. Moline continues to lead at Rich South. It's now 36-24, and that would certainly be good for Galesburg. Oh, you know, it's a final.
Wow.
So there's another playoff point for the Silver Streaks, a much-needed point. Gets Galesburg up to 39 points, and we've been saying if they can get to 40, they would just about be in for sure with these five victories. Peoria Central leading United Township 42-0 now.
Yep, so that one's in the book. And I'm guessing Morton's probably going to get East Peoria tonight over there too. Although Morton is better at throwing than running, and tonight, if it's anything, in fact, Peoria's had more rain than we have from what the folks were telling us from Richwoods. I don't know how well that works out for David Rossi and his passing attack with the Morton Potters.
Looks like it's a final at Mercer County, which defeats Annawan Weathersfield 27-0.
Okay.
So the battle of two 8-0 teams there. Really no surprise that Mercer County wins it. Not that, now here's miscommunication in the backfield as Diggins trips up Peyton Isaacson. Looked like Peyton was turning to hand off to Trevon, who was still behind him, so then Peyton tried to run left. Their legs got tangled up, and Isaacson went down, and this has not been a good third quarter for the Streaks.
Yeah, I laughed, and that's not one that you're going to see the coaching staff laughing at right at the moment, but when they look back at the films, that's one of those when you're sitting there with everybody. You replay that one over about four or five times.
Yeah, if you're involved in it, it's one that you might try to find a time to maybe get up and get a drink.
Yeah, because your teammates are going to let you hear it.
All right, reverse. Here's Diggins getting to the outside, and he's got some running room to the first down marker. Drag down right there, but I think he's got enough for the first down, and a late flag. Two late flags come in. That happened right in front of Coach Tim Doherty. So is this going to be a sideline warning against the coaching staff?
Because at least Diggins
was taken down on a great run on the reverse, the double handoff. He's got to have the first down at about the 39-yard line. So they're indicating first down. So a big third down conversion there on third and 12. Now let's see what the flag is. The referee looks to the press box. Unsportsmanlike conduct against the Silver Streaks.
And I think that's against the coaching staff.
Yeah, because he didn't indicate the personal foul penalty by touching the arm. He put the arm straight out, which is a non-contact unsportsmanlike conduct. So either one of the players said something at the end of the play, or again, as we said, it happened right in front of the coaching staff on that side of the field, and so maybe it came from the sideline.
Coach Doherty was right over here in front of me having a quiet conversation with the official, one of the officials. Two of them threw flags, but the one in particular over here has been pretty feisty. I think he had a bad day. And he's been the guy that's been getting yelled at by the Galesburg coaching staff, and he has just been dishing it right back.
Well, being out here in this kind of weather doesn't put anybody in a good mood. Streaks down 28-3, a minute 13 to go in the third quarter. The 15-yard penalty takes Galesburg back to the 23-yard line, and again we have a discussion on the sideline as the referee comes over to talk it over with Coach Doherty. You able to overhear any of that, Jim?
Yeah, he came over and a different official this time and talking with Coach Doherty and said, I want you back behind that restraining line. I don't really see a line necessarily, but there's an imaginary one there that the official wants him behind, apparently.
A restraining line. Is that like one of those electronic things that goes in the ground and prevents your dog from
I think
wandering out of the yard?
Well, it's like apparently the coach's box in basketball. Get back in your box. Finally, Tim just threw out both arms and what do you want? The guy said, I want you to get back behind that line. And I didn't see a line, but sideline. Then there's some hash marks a little ways back, but I mean that's where the players always stand behind that. But
sure.
The coaching staff has to be in front of the players to see what's going on. So
San Francisco Giants have added a run in the eighth. It's now 5-0. Still batting. Up the far side of the field. Silver Streaks looks like they got another first down. You know, now here's one of these interesting situations. Galesburg had a first down at the 39-yard line. And then the penalty moved them back 15 yards. So then they had to get across the 35-yard line to get another first down. So they have two first downs on this drive. and they're just now getting back to the spot where they were when they got the first down.
Well, I'm sure Roland Brown and the Richwood staff probably wondering, they know there's a game going on over here somewhere, but all the action has been clear over here on this side of the field. The ball's on this hash mark, and of course the officials have been over here, John, with the Galesburg coaching staff for the better part of 5 minutes during the last five or six plays. You can see the Richwood's coaches just looking clear across the field going, I don't know what's going on over there, but we're still ahead.
Hey, we're over here too.
Yep.
28-3, that's the end of the third quarter. Knights lead by 25. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
A more in-depth look at the day's local news and happenings. The WGIL Evening News, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
In the eighth inning, Pablo Sandoval homered for San Francisco. That's how they get their fifth run. I was looking back at the scoring summary, Jim, when the Giants scored their four runs in the fourth inning. Yeah, it sounds like it was pretty ugly on the Cardinals' part. Hunter Pence reached on a force play, and then Marco Scudero scored when pitcher Lance Lynn had a throwing error. Later in the inning, Barry Zito had a single, had a bunt that turned into a single. They ended up getting a run out of that. Here's a handoff to Ben Holloway. He avoids one tackle and then gets to the outside, but I'm not sure he gained even a yard on the play. So the fourth inning that is turning out to be the difference in the game from St. Louis. Sounds like it was pretty ugly for St. Louis, and now down 5-0 going into the bottom of the eighth. So let the rally begin.
Yeah, you get the feeling, though, you know, at least last Friday night, they were kind of pecking away, and you felt them getting back into the game. I don't know. Sounds like they're going to be flying to San Francisco. And if they do, we will have their game on Sunday, and that will be a night game.
It's an evening game, yeah.
Originally, if the Tigers and Yankees were still playing, it was going to be an afternoon game, but it will be an evening game on Sunday here on WGIL.
Back to pass. Isaacson looking down the far side of the field. Will Anderson was open, but he was too far toward the center of the field. Isaacson's pass was closer to the sideline, and it falls incomplete, brings up 3rd and 9. Yeah, I don't know, were the Yankees ever playing this postseason? I hear they were there, but there were sure no signs of them.
Well, they somehow sent Baltimore to the sidelines in a series that had next to no hitting by either team.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees just carried on their no hitting against that Detroit pitching staff, so. Last pass by Isaacson, again, just he went over and grabbed a towel afterwards. He just cannot get any grip on that ball to throw a decent pass tonight.
And a lot of the plays here have been right up the middle of the field, which is where the mud has really come through. This is as bad a shape as we've seen Van Dyke Field in, and, well, I can't remember how long. And it's understandable. I mean, he had a sophomore game that was played in a good amount of rain, and then obviously, the varsity game has been played entirely in the rain or on the wet field, so there's only so much any field can take. But
yeah, and it's been raining off and on for 3 days, really.
Yeah.
So it's going to take us. You know, as Roy Van Meter was telling us there, he says, well, you know, after this is all done, though, get a little, you know, wash the mud off of it, and the grass will pop back up to some degree, but probably a good thing this is the end of the season. Because it'll never be like it was.
Now the Streaks call timeout on 4th and 3. We're just underway in the fourth quarter, 10:23 to go in the game. Silver Streaks trailing 28-3. Good luck to Joy Bledsoe of Galesburg. She is our contestant in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest here in this fourth quarter. If the Silver Streaks can score a touchdown, Joy Bledsoe of Galesburg would be the only winner tonight. As the Streaks do have 3 points, but have not found the end zone yet to make a winner of any of our previous contestants, Dominic Michael, Vanessa Pearl, or Joey Clays. And again, being the end of the season, anybody who is able to win that $10 gift card from Lieber's Boxcar Express when the Streaks score a touchdown in the quarter in which their name is drawn, then those people also get entered into the contest for a party sub given away at the end of the football season, which Silver Streaks coaching staff, players, and fans all hoping that will not come for a while. So we are closer to a position where the Silver Streaks would have four more contestants in the contest next week. They can get into the playoffs. Still keeping an eye on some of those other games going on of involving Streaks opponents throughout the season. The more Galesburg opponents win, the better their chances are of getting into the playoffs. Empty downfield as Richwood sends nobody back to receive the punt, and the Silver Streaks will down it at the 11-yard line. 10:14 to go in the game. Fighting Illini football, Jim.
We got the week off, mercifully.
That's what I thought, yeah, because it's Indiana the next game, right?
Yes, and Indiana used to be a patsy, but they can score some points, and so Illinois invited them to homecoming, but if the Illinois defense doesn't figure it out, they'll watch the Hoosiers run up and down the field, too.
Kind of rough here.
Making the Lou Tepper era look better.
Oh, my. That was a name I did not need to hear again.
Oh, boy. That was some rough beatings in those few seasons.
All right. Rock Island is going to lose. That's not going to help the Silver Streaks cause. It's now 34-14. Glenbard South on top. So a week after Rock Island in a defensive slugfest outscores Alleman 10-7 in overtime to wrap up the Western Big Six title. They run into a Suburban team, and they're down by 20 in the fourth quarter.
Foster still in, runs for a first down on that play. Manny Valdez and Michael Moss on the tackle for the Silver Streaks.
Peoria Central, no surprise, beats United Township. Ends up being 48-0. But again, we knew that the Streaks were going to get a playoff point out of that one either way. Run up the middle to the 41-yard line before the Knights are finally stopped there. Ben Holloway makes the tackle. That one could have gone for a lot more. And then a Knights player falls down on his own teammate as Jeremy Johnson comes up off the bottom of the pile. He's actually still got some white on his jersey.
There's not many out there.
There sure aren't.
It's actually a little harder to read the Streaks numbers because they got the black uniforms with what were white numbers. And none of those are white. They kind of look like a throwback. Makes the uniforms look really old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Black and the mud everywhere.
Handoff up the middle as Bears hangs off. Hands off.
Tyson Parks again on the tackle with Will Anderson.
A little run to the near side. Just fighting forward. Foster again to the 48-yard line. He'll pick up eight more. I'm really anxious to see what he can do at the next level. And as somebody who watches the Illini, I'm really anxious to see what he can do at the next level.
Yeah, I'd be more anxious to see what he could do with
help.
A team that had a little bit more around him. I hope
no doubt.
He doesn't just go out there to die without any support because he could be dynamite.
Back to pass. Pierce slips a little bit, then gets the pass away. A well-thrown ball, and it falls incomplete.
I think it hit our defender in the helmet, didn't it?
Yep.
They were both looking downfield, and the ball, it was a nice tight spiral.
It was.
A nice pass.
Especially after he slipped in the mud trying to get his plant foot down.
Yeah, one of the better looking passes we've seen from either quarterback tonight, but the ball just not quite enough air underneath it and hit our defender in the helmet.
Yeah, ricocheted off Diggins' helmet. And brings up third and about three from the Richwood's 48-yard line. Sophomores lost tonight, 46-30. One of the reasons that the varsity game got started so late was because there were so many points scored in the sophomore game, just couldn't end the darn thing. And then, of course, it was senior night in between. Handoff goes right. Looks like Richwood's comes up about a half yard short of the first down right at the 50-yard line.
Yeah, Matt Hawkins coming over, wrapped him up and threw him down. So Knights will, I don't think you'll see them punt at this point of the game.
No. When Javier Ross comes into the game, you can tell he hasn't been on the field a whole lot.
Yeah.
His white jersey really stands out on the field.
Some old movie, North Dallas 40 or one of those, the kicker came in and he was picking lint off his nice white uniform.
All right, on fourth and one, toss goes into the backfield. Johnson gets to the outside and he gets the first down. Rolled down at the Galesburg 45-yard line for a gain of five. And they'll move the chains. on a fourth down conversion, their first of the night. Under 8 minutes to go. Knights leading 28-3 and trying to add to it. Or if nothing else, just hang on to the ball for a while and run time off the clock. Bottom of the eighth inning, Cardinals still batting, trailing 5-0. Runner at first, two outs, Matt Holliday up. He's 0-3. Been a rough postseason for Matt Holliday. Up the middle goes Foster, into the secondary, and almost sidesteps a defender. A nice job by Galesburg to hang in there. I think that was Holloway who kept him from running downfield, and then with a true tackle took him down. But not till he gets to the 30-yard line for a gain of 10 more. Sorry, 15 more.
Cheerleaders giving it their all, even though the crowd only outnumbers them about 3-1 right now.
Yep. It's been a sparse crowd most of the night. Hard to come out on a night like this one has been weather-wise.
Well, the band got in uniform, but then weren't able to play. They did leave the seniors in uniform for senior night. We've got a flag on the field on a sweep play to the left.
Foster on the toss, gets all the way downfield before it's finally run out of bounds, close to the 20-yard line, but this one will be coming back.
I was talking with Dr. Gregory Shire down here. He's the attending physician, and he's got on his Knox Prairie Fire cap. I said, are you doing double duty this weekend? He goes, yep, I'm going to be over at the Nosher Bowl tomorrow. Knox playing host to Illinois College for homecoming.
Good luck to the Prairie Fire.
Yeah, that's a team that comes in and will score a few points as well.
Boy, no kidding.
And they don't have to worry about their footing over there playing on the field turf. By tomorrow afternoon, it may not be real warm, but it's supposed to be clearing off.
Right. They still show 47 degrees here. It's right where we've been all night long. Hasn't fluctuated a bit.
I'm going to have my grandson come over and rake leaves with me tomorrow morning, but I canceled that after all this rain came down. That'd be kind of a miserable experience, I think, in the morning when it's cold and wet.
For you and him both.
Yes.
Another flag comes down at the end of the play as it runs left with Foster getting across the 35-yard line. Flag came in on a hold call. It's going to go back another 10 yards. Now the referee giving it to the Richwood sidelines. He's just getting it from all sides tonight.
Well, when you keep throwing flags in a 28-3 game with 6 minutes left, you should get abused.
Still 6:41 to go. It's been a long night all the way around.
It sure has.
I mean, not so much if you're a Richwoods fan, but even they, I think, at going on 10 o'clock, have to be thinking to some extent, let's just get this thing over with.
Yeah, I think they're ready to get in the car. Mission accomplished for the Knights.
Right.
I would think we might see a few more of the really lily white uniforms start to show up here pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm surprised that as many of the starters have stayed out there as long as they have with this game so well in hand midway through the fourth quarter. Handoff goes left, little toss play again, and the Streaks defense converges. Getting harder to tell the difference between the black jerseys and the white jerseys out there as they're all brown. Foster gains a yard back at the 50-yard line.
Here comes a little bit of rain again.
Boy, I guess. See it real well looking at the lights. I'm up here in the press box, just a sheet of rain coming down. Still that heavy mist variety, it looks like, right, Jim?
Yeah, yeah, really a very, very tiny little drops, but a lot of them.
All right, back in the shotgun now is Davis. He's going to run it and then tosses it on the pitch to the outside and running room for Foster getting to the outside, trying to get back at least to the initial first down marker. Finally stopped with a clash of helmets and beside the 35-yard line to the 34.
I think that was actually Jeremy Johnson.
Was it?
It's hard to tell. You're clear over across the field. Yeah, it was number 10. The only reason I know is because he's right in front of me.
Well, he gained 16 of it back, and it gives him a better chance percentage-wise on third and 13 now rather than third and 30, which is what they were looking at before. Got to get to the Galesburg 20-yard line. They'll have some big rushing numbers tonight for Peoria Richwoods. leading 28-3, under 5 minutes to go in the game. Now the rain comes down a little bit harder, and the Knights call timeout. We'll take a timeout as well. 25-point lead for Richwoods. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends.
Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
28-3, Richwood leads Galesburg. The ninth-ranked Knights. 4:45 to go for their seventh victory of the season and their sixth straight victory. They come in at 6-2. The rain coming down a little bit harder. Davis on the carry on 3rd and 13, gets across the 35 to about the 33 for a short gain. And it'll bring up fourth down, fourth and long. And these two teams play next season in the new Midwest 10 football conference. And again, we do stress football conference. That will not be the case during basketball season, or for any other sport for that matter. It's football only. Galesburg will play at Richwoods next year in week 4. Boy, Jim, the rain's really coming down now. Just out of nowhere.
It just will not quit tonight.
Heavier sheets of rain now. Yeah, why not? Clean off some of those jerseys. Now rolling out Davis on the fake to Foster, and he's just running for his life, and he's taken down at the 35-yard line. It was student body left, and he had no chance to get away from that.
So the Streaks will take over, probably their final possession of the regular season. I'm like you, Brad. I think they got plenty of points for the playoffs, especially if Moline held on to win, even though
Rocky didn't
win.
Yep. Holloman won.
Quincy was favored to win. I don't know how that one's going.
That Troy, Missouri team was 5-3, but Quincy was playing at home, and they've had some tough losses. They have. Boy, I mean, a play here or a play there, and they could easily be 6-2 themselves going into tonight. They have just had that hard of luck. Not that Galesburg's crying any tears for him after a double overtime win last week. You know, Galesburg never cries any tears for Quincy, period, do they?
I don't think so.
But Alleman won. Again, even though East Peoria is already in the playoffs at 6-2, and Morton at 3-5, a lot of people feeling the Potters. Holy cow. Where in the world was Derek Brackett going on that? Off the right side of the line, he just took off. I don't think Peyton Isaacson anymore and came up to the line of scrimmage that Derek took off for a 5-yard penalty. So that would be a big help to the Silver Streaks if Morton could get that win tonight and knock off East Peoria. DeKalb will not win tonight. Well, shouldn't say that. I mean,
have you already included the Richwoods win?
No, that's a good point. With 3:02 to go in the game, that's how close the Streaks are to not wanting to get a playoff point out of it, but that's the upside of the loss, is that it will help the Silver Streaks in the opponent victory totals. So Alleman, Moline, Peoria Central, Richwoods, and that would put the Silver Streaks at 40, which was the cutoff last year. And once again, last year was an odd year. It had never taken 40 points in any year prior to get into the playoffs until last year. And that's where the Silver Streaks are. On 3rd and 11, handoff goes left. Streaks tried a little misdirection there, but the Knights read it well, and it's going to be maybe back to the line of scrimmage on the play.
And if we make the playoffs, not only the question of who we might play, but when, because
yes,
the schools will get together, and sometimes they decide to play on Friday night and some on Saturday. Increasingly, there have been more and more Saturday games. It used to be a thought among many of the coaches. The kids are in a rhythm, you know, to play on Friday nights. We want to keep it that way. But I think there have been better fan attendance on Saturdays, and for various other reasons, they've been doing more and more of the Saturday games.
Well, especially if you have to travel.
Sure.
And it does give the teams an extra day. It's one thing as the Streaks punted away and Richwood's with nobody downfield. Galesburg will down it to the 20 for the final possession of the game with a minute 33 to go. But the way this will work now, tomorrow, is the IHSA will announce the 256 teams, 32 in each of eight classes. They will announce the 256 playoff teams late in the afternoon, keeping in mind there are football games already scheduled for tomorrow, so the IHSA has to wait till all of those play out before they can determine, finally, who are the teams that are getting in. Then starting at 8 o'clock, the IHSA will announce, starting with the smallest class of schools, 1A, will announce the pairings. Then the schools have to make contact with each other on Monday, and not that they won't be talking it over with each other Saturday night as soon as they find out who they'll be playing. But they'll have to finalize everything on Monday in terms of when that game is actually going to be. And, Jim, I think as much as anything, when you can't finalize that until Monday, I think that's why a lot of the games do end up on Saturday, because it does give you that one extra day to prepare.
Well, it's all a luxury compared to the way it used to be. It used to be the opening round of the IHSA playoffs was on Wednesday night.
That's right.
So you just had a couple of days to prepare for that.
That's how it was in 91 when the Streaks ran into Mike Allstott and Joliet Catholic in the snow. That was a Wednesday night game.
Ran into that snowstorm. Who will ever forget that? Any of us around the area covering football that night. That may never happen again in our lifetime.
And they still combined for over 80 points in that game.
That kind of snow in late October.
Streaks scored, I can't remember the final score now. If Neil Meyer were around, he'd come up with it right away. But it was 52 to 30 or something like that.
Yeah, it was in that neighborhood.
The fact that anybody could score 30 points, let alone 52 of that weather that night, something else, and a testament to how good both of those teams were that year.
I think we just had our final play there.
So Richwoods takes a knee for the third time and run off the final 20 seconds off the clock. And the Silver Streaks fall tonight by a final of 28-3. So they finish the regular season 5-4, playoff eligible, and we'll know for sure tomorrow, but all indications are it looks like Galesburg does have enough playoff points to get into the postseason. We'll take a break. When we come back on the postgame show, we'll talk things over with the Streaks coaching staff, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game as well. 28-3 the final. Richwoods improves to 7-2. The Streaks are 5-4. Heading into postseason. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Obstructive sleep apnea is kind of insidious. It creeps up on people over the course of a long period of time.
Stephen Clark, registered sleep technologist, talks about the most commonly diagnosed disorder in the OSF St. Mary Sleep Laboratory.
Loud snoring is usually a hallmark for obstructive sleep apnea. A lot of times there are complaints of daytime sleepiness.
Struggling to get a good night's sleep? Talk to your physician. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Game 9 in the books. The regular season is over. In high school football, the Silver Streaks finished the regular year 5-4. They fall tonight to Peoria Richwoods, 28-3. Miserable night weather-wise. Lots of rain. Field is chewed up, covered in mud. And a lot of that chewed up because of the yardage Peoria Richwoods gained tonight behind Illinois-bound Kendrick Foster, who looked terrific. Offensive line did a great job. Foster finishes with close to 250 yards rushing. And we'll run through the numbers that we do have for you. Going into the bottom of the ninth now, 5-0 San Francisco. Both teams have only 6 hits on the night, so pitchers have done the job in that respect for both sides. But Cardinals had one bad inning, giving up 4, had an error, had a bunt that turned into a run-scoring single for the pitcher in that inning. And those 4 runs in the 4th inning are the big difference in the game, with St. Louis down 5-0. So we might have a final on that one before we close out our broadcast here. The Streaks have broken huddle, so we'll head down to the field in just a moment as Jim Lee continues to, well, not drown in that heavy mist, but
no,
it's been a soaker tonight.
Yeah, it's just been pretty nonstop, and I'm sure the freshmen can't wait to get out here and play on this field at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Sure enough.
Well, Tim disappeared.
I noticed that.
I mean, he literally vanished. I saw him there, and he just kind of got in the middle of the players and headed out. So I don't know that he's going to come back or not, but I think he's about halfway back to the locker room already. So.
All right. Well, we'll take a break here on the post game. We'll try to track down the coach, get his thoughts on tonight's game. The ninth-rated Richwoods in Class 6A, the ninth-rated Knights win at 28-3. We'll have more from Van Dyke Field on Senior Night when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Fall is here, and you need a change. Now is the time for you to invest in Karastan quality during National Karastan Month, when Karastan carpeting and rugs are at their lowest prices of the season at Breslin's Floor Covering. Better prices on the best carpeting and rugs made today. Go ahead, make a refreshing change, and enjoy the biggest savings ever on Karastan products, from country classics to contemporary expressions. Karastan's got you covered. Make a statement with Karastan rugs and carpeting, your own, when you visit Breslin's Floor Covering at 63 North Seminary, downtown Galesburg.
I checked and rechecked, and it all comes down to the same conclusion.
Don't say it.
It's your turn to clean the coffee pot in the break room.
No!
It's Patsy from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster. Your hands grip tighter. Your heart beats harder. And time slows down. The weight of the team is on you, and you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
As of January 1st, eCycling Drop-Off, the recycling program for large clunky electronic appliances, will no longer be available at Galesburg Transit. After the first of the year, items may be directly taken to Waste Management, located at 1360 South Henderson Street in Galesburg. Galesburg Transit will still accept your used motor oil to recycle it as fuel to heat the bus garage. You can drop off used motor oil at 567 South Farnham Street during normal business hours.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL. WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Not much offense to speak of for the Galesburg Silver Streaks tonight as they fall to Peoria Richwoods 28-3, so much so that the only points the Streaks scored tonight on a 25-yard field goal by Tanner Laird came after the Knights fumbled the ball at their own 10-yard line. So the Silver Streaks had the ball and just, well, terrific field position. Just about couldn't have gotten any better. And yet the Silver Streaks, even from the 10-yard line, couldn't even move the ball to get it into the end zone. Ended up having to settle for a field goal. And those are the only points that they could muster. So, Jim, maybe you could make the argument that as the Cardinals go, so go the Streaks, or the other way around. Because last week we had the two great finishes. Galesburg with a big rally down to defeat Quincy in double overtime. The Cardinals with a huge rally to beat Washington and stay alive in the playoffs. Tonight, neither one of them have any offense. So maybe there's some sort of symmetry going on here. I don't know.
Well, I guess if you had to have one Friday night where the Cardinals and the Streaks won and one that they lost, last week was the one that had to happen for both of them.
That's true.
Obviously the Streaks had to get that win over Quincy to be playoff eligible because they weren't going to get it here tonight. And the Cardinals would, you know, if they hadn't rallied, we would be talking how the Nationals and the Giants were doing tonight. So even though the Cardinals look like they're flying to San Francisco for early next week, they've still got a chance and a lead in their series. Silver Streaks, as we've said, we'll find out where they're going next weekend by late tomorrow. As far as talking with head coach Tim Doherty tonight, I'm not sure it's going to happen. He skedaddled off the field pretty quickly with the team, didn't talk with any of us in the press, and I don't know that he's in mid-lecture right now in the locker room or just liking the fact that it's warm and dry in there. But I think Jane Miller over here from the Journal Star waiting for a few comments, and I think we're just about ready to pack it in because I don't see any sign of him.
Speaking of other media people, Aaron Fry up here in the press box tells us that Quincy did win tonight. They defeated Troy, Missouri. So that puts Galesburg up to 41 playoff points. Morton had a pretty good battle with East Peoria, it sounds like, but lost that game. So East Peoria goes to 7-2, but more importantly, the Streaks don't get the extra point out of Morton that they were hoping, but they do end up with 5 out of this week. 5 playoff points with opponent victories. Alleman with the win last night. Moline with its victory. Peoria Central and United Township playing each other.
So you knew you were getting one there.
So there was the one definite that the Streaks were absolutely going to get this week. Obviously, with Richwoods beating the Silver Streaks tonight, that's an opponent victory. And then the Quincy victory. So Galesburg does get 5 more playoff points. That puts him at 41. And I would think definitely should be enough to get him in.
Wish we were going in a little bit healthier. I probably have some other teams too, but having lost the 3 players this week to the athletic or the school code violation was big. And then, of course, that with the Jonathan Mixon being out for the last couple of weeks. Now, we're still holding out hope that maybe Jonathan might be able to get cleared to play for next week, which would be a huge bonus for us, obviously.
Sure,
but we'll have to wait and see about that.
So we'll take a final timeout here on the postgame show. 28-3 is the final as Richwoods defeats the Silver Streaks. Galesburg ends the season, regular season, 5-4, and the Knights end their regular season 7-2 and looking primed for another playoff run in Class 6A. Take a final break from Van Dyke Field on Senior Night. Give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Fall is here, and you need a change. Now is the time for you to invest in Karastan quality during National Karastan Month, when Karastan carpeting and rugs are at their lowest prices of the season at Breslin's Floor Covering. Better prices on the best carpeting and rugs made today. Go ahead, make a refreshing change, and enjoy the biggest savings ever on Karastan products, from country classics to contemporary expressions. Karastan's got you covered. Make a statement with Karastan rugs and carpeting, your own, when you visit Breslin's Floor Covering at 63 North Seminary, downtown Galesburg.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
News, talk, sports on WGIL.
Final order of business from Van Dyke Field on Senior Night is maybe the most difficult thing we've had to do. Well, it's easy for me to say. I was in the press box. You were down on the field getting wet all night, Jim. So it's maybe it's not the toughest thing you've had to do tonight. But our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. It's, you know, Richwood scores on the first two possessions, the second one coming after a Galesburg turnover, and Streaks never really threatened him after that. It's kind of hard to come up with a time. The one I can think of is the fumble recovery that the Streaks had down here at the 10-yard line, but we had five guys who were battling for it against one Richwood's kid. So the odds were in our favor, and Galesburg didn't end up coming up with it. But out of those five, even then we weren't entirely sure who had it. That would be kind of the one play I would look at and say, well, maybe that was it.
Well, I guess I'm kind of leaning towards something we've talked about for a few weeks. Our only points came from Laird on the extra or the field goal. And throughout the course of this season, I think even tonight you see our kicking game has been so much better than it's been, I mean, combined in years. And, you know, when you got Sykes, who I don't think he's mishit a punt all year. You know, Drake just consistently
I can
drills.
Think of one. It was like the DeKalb game, though. I mean, it was way back there where he had a not really a shank, but it was a pretty short one. But
he's been really consistent. And Tanner Laird, from the place kicking standpoint, has been outstanding. And I don't know. I got a hunch just to give it to both of those guys. You know, because when you get a game like this against a good team, field position becomes hugely important. And your punter obviously punting the ball, and your guy kicking off to keep the other team deep. We've talked at length about them with Phil Reddington last week of the soccer players, and they double as football players. But they, you'd never know they spend any time, cutting their sports in half, because they've been very valuable to the Streaks football team. So,
well, they sure have.
Well, I give the nod to both of them tonight.
All right, we'll do it. Some other quick scores to pass along to you before we close our broadcast here. Mercer County, as we mentioned earlier, shut out Anawan Weathersfield 27-0. North Fulton lost to Beardstown 36-0. Mid County fell to Princeville by a touchdown 13-6. It was Orion over Princeton, no surprise there, 35-6. West Central got a much needed win 40-0 over West Prairie. That makes them playoff eligible. It was Farmington over South Fulton 54-16. Quincy did defeat Troy, Missouri, as we mentioned earlier, 23-21. So
they won a close one.
Just about everything they play has gone right down to the wire this year. Abingdon, how about this one? Shut out Knoxville, 28-0.
On Knoxville's field.
And Monmouth Roseville, you ready for this?
Did they get it done?
They beat Illini West, 20-12.
They, I tell you what, they. How ready are they for the playoffs? Boy. They've beaten Rock Ridge, St. Joe's, Ogden, and
that was
Illini West in three consecutive weeks. I mean, three legitimately tough playoff teams. They've beaten three straight weeks, so they are ready to roll.
Elmwood Brimfield shut out BPC Avon 59-0. Let's see. Havana over Peoria Heights 55-19. What a dichotomy between those two Prairie Land divisions this year.
Yeah.
And that, I think, makes Abingdon's win over Knoxville even that much more impressive tonight. Lewistown beat Rushville Industry 14-12. We mentioned to you earlier, Rock Island lost that game 41-28 to Glenbard South. Rock Ridge over West Hancock 35-6, and Stark County shut out United 28-0.
Wow.
Here tonight it was Richwoods over the Silver Streaks 28-3. Sophomores lost 46-30. So we'll find out tomorrow where the Silver Streaks are headed and who they'll be playing in a what's almost got to be a certain playoff scenario, as Galesburg has now reached 41 playoff points. Has to be enough to make the playoffs. Again, we don't know that for sure, but we sure like the Silver Streaks' chances at this point. 28-3 the final. They fall to the ninth-rated team in Class 6A. And again, we'll know tomorrow night when the IHSA releases the pairings where the Silver Streaks will be going and who they will be playing. Full reports coming up for you on Monday morning with Jim and Tom on the morning news.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll be ready.
All right, and our crunch time players of the game go to our kickers tonight, and much deserved for what they have done for the Silver Streaks all season long, Drake Sykes and Tanner Laird. For Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz from Senior Night, where it didn't end well for the Silver Streaks, but fortunately the end has not come yet. They're off to the playoffs, most likely next week. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.